IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Iraq's former Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz has surrendered now to U.S. officials. He is the most senior member so far of Saddam Hussein's regime to be taken into custody by the United States in Iraq. Aziz was the public face most times of the former Baghdad government. He traveled the world, including here to the U.S., for meetings often at the United Nations. He was also actually the only Christian within Saddam Hussein's inner circle. As we hear now from correspondent Simon Marks, who's in nearby Jordan, military insiders are hoping Aziz's surrender will give them more information on still missing members of the former Iraqi governments.
He is a man extremely close to the Iraqi leadership. It will be fascinating to find out where he has been for the course of the past 3 weeks since he disappeared from view in Baghdad. Fascinating, too, to discover whether he has any information on the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein, his two sons, Uday and Qusay, and other members of the Iraqi leadership who remain on the U.S. wanted list. So this apparent surrender by Tariq Aziz to U.S. forces, a very major acquisition by the United States, giving U.S. officials an opportunity now to answer some of the questions that remain open in Iraq about exactly what happened to the Iraqi leadership and exactly where they may now be located. Simon Marks, Amman.
Iraq's former spy boss Farouk Hezazi was also detained near the Syrian border today. He's been accused of plotting to assassinate former President Bush in the 1990s. A firefight in southeast Afghanistan today has killed one American soldier, left five more injured. A statement from the spokesman for the U.S. military in Afghanistan says an Afghan government soldier was also hurt in that clash with about 20 opposing fighters. The battle happened near a U.S. base in a province near the border with Pakistan. At least three opposing fighters were also reportedly killed. The statement says the clash happened near a site used in the past by opposing forces to launch rocket attacks. U.S. units involved and the names of the dead and injured have not yet been made public. More than 11,000 U.S.-led troops are still in Afghanistan.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read a bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a four-star hotel for a two-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
The White House says North Korean leaders continue to take actions that, quote, isolate North Korea, and the U.S. will work with the United Nations to resolve the growing nuclear crisis on the Korean Peninsula. When spokesman Ari Fleischer was asked earlier today about North Korean admissions about its nuclear weapons program, he told reporters the North's words are, quote, much more complicated than their actions. He said bluster is a standard part of the North Korean vocabulary. Fleischer described this week's earlier talks between the U.S., North Korea, and China as useful first-round talks and said the U.S. position is still clear. North Korea must stop its nuclear pursuits.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, your back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a Thermacare and wrap yourself in relief.
Asian health officials meeting in Malaysia are talking tough in an effort to stem the spread of SARS. They're considering proposals that would involve strict pre-travel checks to passengers at airports and seaports. A preliminary statement calls for travel bans on suspected SARS carriers and surveillance of people who have had contact with them. At the same time, the World Health Organization today told an outraged Canada it will not lift a travel warning against Toronto, where 16 people have died from the contagious illness. New York City is taking steps now to stop vendors from setting up shop near the former World Trade Center. That story from reporter Jeff Weiser.
Those vendors who sell World Trade Center souvenirs like T-shirts and pictures may have to move away from the Ground Zero area. Victims' relatives don't like the vendors there, so the city has proposed a ban. The mayor supports the move, but vendors say they're just trying to make a living.
I don't think it's right for Mayor Bloomberg to turn around and take money away from the little businessmen.
The commercial-free zone would cover several blocks around the World Trade Center site. Jeff Weiser, New York.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News. We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Peter Werby broadcasting live from the headquarters of the IE America Radio Network in Detroit, Michigan. Joining me from sunny Miami, Florida, Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter. It is sunny. Sunny and hot.
It's actually sunny and cool here.
Well, it would probably feel better there.
I think so. I always think, man, do I wish I was in Miami. But that's only in, like, November. I'm trying to think what comes next. December, January.
February,
yeah,
March.
But right now, you know, the Forsythias. I can't even say it. Forsythias. Forsythias.
You have lovely flowers.
Forsythias. Yeah. All the tulips are up and the hydrangeas and
that
stuff. Yeah. And the whole yard just wafting with this nice perfume of the spring flowers.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
In this world, as soon as you turn on the news. Hey, you know, one thing that all these years of taking Tai Chi Chuan has done for me is I get a little insight into my body and my mind when tension and anxiety starts to rise in it. And
you're more aware?
I am aware of it. And then you can start combating that. I mean, and that's what you want to do, either when you use its martial applications, which is pretty rare for Tai Chi, or just in every day, which is very, very, very handy.
Yeah.
It occurred to me, I was listening as I was waiting for the show to open to, and I know I'm breaking my own rule, to the CNN News.
Yes.
And I could just feel this anxiety, this tension building in me. It's like I'm saying, everything here, it's not a lie. It's not like somebody says that the moon is green cheese or the earth is flat or something like that. But they start from false premises and they give you all this could be, maybe, and then it comes across, though, as a fact. And without even going through all the different items, that's what makes me want to turn it off.
Oh, yeah.
Because for one thing, the power of television is such that you don't get any time for reflection or even rebuttal within your own mind. They're on to the next story, and it carries with it, and that's what's most insidious about it, all the authority of official society. And it even appears it's giving all points of view.
It really is scary.
Yeah.
Here is a little deeper into it.
Yeah, here's what the head of the British Broadcasting Company, the BBC, said. U.S. broadcasters' coverage of the Iraq War was so unquestioningly patriotic and so lacking in impartiality that it threatened the credibility of America's electronic media. This is according to BBC Director General Greg Dyke. And he singled out the criticism for the fast-growing News Corporation Limited's Fox News channel owned by media baron Rupert Murdoch and Clear Channel Communications, of which we will talk about, I think, in a little bit. But they own 1,200 radio stations in the United States. Dyke said that, personally, I was shocked while in the United States by how unquestioning the broadcast news media was during this war. He said if Iraq proved anything, it was that the BBC cannot afford to mix patriotism and journalism. Hello, America.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to expect these media whores, everybody from Conservative News Network to the Foxhole News to the Network News to the National Pentagon Radio, to do this. But what is of prime importance? They're not going to do any different. They're doing their job. We always say, they're not doing their job. They're only giving one side. That's their duty in this society, the official propaganda organs for power. All right.
Yeah.
But what it is, what here becomes incumbent is for us as consumers of reality, these passive consumers of reality through this medium that is dedicated only to being a megaphone for power, to be critical, to understand that just because it says it up there on television and because it says it 135 times doesn't make it true.
Yeah, 135 times an hour.
Yes, there you go. And General Dyke of the BBC says, if Iraq proved anything, it was that the BBC cannot afford to mix patriotism and journalism. This is happening in the United States, and if it continues, it will undermine the credibility of the U.S. electronic news media. Well, you're being nice, General Dyke. It's already been discredited. Dyke singled out Fox News, the most popular U.S. cable news network during the conflict, for its, quote, gung-ho patriotism, saying, quote, we are still surprised when we see Fox News with such a committed political position. And a spokesman for Fox News declined comment.
And were you going to tell who else was after Fox?
Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He called Rupert Murdoch a warmonger.
He's a warmonger, he told the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. He promoted the war.
That's
now,
right.
It's like William Randolph Hearst in 1898, creating the war of this imperial war against Spain for imperial acquisitions, for colonial acquisitions, in which we got Cuba, Guam, the Philippines, and what have you. I know Cuba, it wasn't officially a colony, but for all practical purposes, Puerto Rico. And this benefited the Hearst newspapers because it raised their circulation. Well, Rupert Murdoch, of course, is a dyed-in-the-wool far-right wing or right-wing extremist, no matter how you want to kind of cut it up.
Yeah.
This guy is on the far right wing of the spectrum, and he promoted the war, according to Ted Turner. He's a warmonger. Now, that sounds like an insult. You know, it's like calling me, you SOB. But actually, he mongered war. And this, a fishmonger is someone who brings you the fish in, this old English phrase. But Rupert Murdoch is a warmonger. He wanted the war because not only for ideological reasons, but because he knew that it would sell his lousy papers and bring audience to his TV outlets all over the world.
And
this,
it did.
Think about this man's hands are dripping with blood. And this is no different, for instance, than George Shultz, the former Secretary of State under Reagan, who, as head of Bechtel, who got this almost $700 million contract of taxpayer money to rebuild what his other pals have destroyed in the Carlyle Group, he was head of this pro-war committee. So this is what I am saying, folks. It is just a filthy, lousy racket. And it's not a matter of blood for oil. It's blood for the ruling, reigning racket. And George W. Bush are the Corleones, the whole gang there are the Corleones, and they run it just like the Corleones did as well.
And like the journalists who are embedded,
In bed with.
And in bed with and embedded, right. The entire network is embedded.
Exactly. And what we needed to know, in fact, if you go to either my website, peterwerby.com, man, do I have this stuff on there. For one thing, you can see the Dixie Chicks. Am I whoring out? Speaking of media, am I becoming a media whore because I have nudes on my website? I put it on there because I'm really proud of the Dixie Chicks. I'm proud that they had to back up a little, but mostly they said that George W. Bush in that interview with him by Diane Sawyer, that Bush had no compassion. They said that the questions remained in their mind. They said it was disrespectful. So what? Why can't you be disrespectful to a politician?
They're disrespectful to us all the time.
Particularly a guy that came in second in the popular vote.
Yeah, good point.
And think about what the right wing says about Al Gore. Think about what they said about Bill Clinton. Why can't we speak similarly?
Really, pretty nasty stuff.
My Tai Chi teacher would say, because then we become them. And some of our listeners agree. I don't want to get into this. Whether we should or not. Sometimes I think, man, should I be calling? I mean, not so much that out of respect, but just as another human being, even though you really disrespect his act, should I call Bush a liar like I do on my website? And then I look, and there, like in the Washington Post, Richard Cohen calling Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Cleveland who's running for president. That's the first word of his column about Kucinich, liar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he said that, because Kucinich is saying, this is a war for oil. Hey! Of course, all over the Washington Post, where Cohen's columns first appear, there's all this information that we use for months saying how, you know, this was about oil. Securing oil, you know, not making sure that things were traded in petrodollars, giving us an oil outpost, all of this stuff. Now, here, we've got to go into something else. And, you know, I didn't even clear this with you, but I got the idea this was okay because you said you were going to go to this event tonight. Do we want to go here with this?
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind.
Okay,
hey,
go ahead.
It's therapy.
Yeah, good. Now, Jalene's husband, Troy, is a station man, or the program director for two rock stations in Miami. And he's we don't want to make him out of the villain, because Troy's a nice guy. He's got good sentiments. He's smart.
Yes.
And he doesn't support George W. Bush, but he works for Clear Channel.
Yeah, so they turned an event that is called Bonsai. And this is the ninth year. Every year they have this big event. They turned it in, upper management made him basically change the name to the USO Support the Troops Tour. And he protested, but it didn't matter.
Okay.
We know how upper management can be.
Right.
So so this is tonight. And he didn't tell me anything about it because he knows better. But I look in the paper, a local artist made a Saddam statue. That mm-hmm. looks like the one that was toppled by the Marines and the Iraqis. And they're going to topple the Saddam statue. There's paintball where you can shoot Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, or Jacques Chirac.
The president of France, no less.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else? Oh, they're
shooting them. That's truly frightening. This is a head of state in terms of a conservative president of France who had the temerity to say, I don't think it's good to go to war immediately, along with Russia, along with China, who also would have vetoed the U.S. resolution, and also 12 other members of the Security Council. So it was only the United States and three other members that would have voted for it. So why France gets all the all the heat, I don't know. George W. Bush, when he goes to Davos, Davos in Switzerland. But anyway, he's going to some meeting in France this summer, and he's going to stay across the border in Switzerland. These are small, mean people, and they have the attitudes of classic fascists, folks.
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead, tell it. All right.
So. Well, so this is what's going on tonight, and I'm reading this a couple hours, like an hour and a half ago, and I'm reading about this, and I'm thinking, can I go to this thing?
Well, you know, I rarely would be so presumptuous as to give you personal advice, but I wouldn't go. This is so repulsive. But
then I'm not supporting, you know, my husband
his
big show, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, you know, catch-22 situation here. So the good news is the show lasts here until 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I have to pick some friends up, and then I have to go check into my hotel room. And so I won't
be
there.
Have a drink.
Yeah, have about 20 drinks. And in fact, I thought about having my friend drive so I could drink in the car. Gosh, don't tell anyone.
No.
Anyhow, so, I mean, I have to get primed for this thing.
Well,
I'm going to miss this toppling of Saddam. I'm going to miss all of that. And I'm going to, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk over to the venue with my friends. I'm going to make an appearance back in the VIP area, and I'm going to walk my butt right back to the hotel, and I'm putting on my swimsuit, and I'm going to the pool.
Well, there you go.
And, so,
and have a drink by the pool.
Yes.
Now, as soon as you told me this morning, I went to my bookshelf and pulled out my 1961 paperback edition of George Orwell's 1984, a signet classic, and I was reading just some, this is a wonderful book. This is an absolutely wonderful book.
I started it.
And there's this one line in there. It says, all their ferocity was turned outwards against the enemies of the state, against foreigners, traitors, saboteurs, thought criminals. That's one little, I don't think I have time to read any more from this, but because this is the 2 minutes hate. This is when the visage, the face of Goldstein, the enemy of Big Brother, is projected onto the screen and onto the telescreens, the ubiquitous telescreens that are watching you. Remember, Big Brother is watching you?
Yep.
Except in the twisting of that phrase wonderfully by Mark Crispin Miller, he says, Big Brother is you watching.
Ooh.
Big Brother doesn't have to watch us. We willfully, at least many of us, or some of us, maybe it's just the some that can be fooled all the time, watch Big Brother willingly and do his bidding. We're not being supervised. We're saying, tell us, Big Brother. All right, more from George Orwell. Also, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, when we come back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Go tell how last year that you thought it was so swell.
to sink every last dime in AOL. When they merged with Time Warner, they said,
you got nailed.
You need some help with your 401k. You play roulette with your
IRA.
Once your nest egg was fat, now you wear paper hats and say,
would you like fries with that?
You'll have to live it the YMCA.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Oh, thank you very much. Welcome back, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. You like that, Jalene?
That was good.
And that was our friends, the Capital Steps. They have a brand new CD out called Between a Rock and a Hard Place, I-R-A-Q, of course. And one of the problems with doing political parody, I would say half of these have been superseded by reality. You know, I went through them and I go, oh, well, that's out of date. That's out of date. It's too bad. I mean, because they're a funny group. Yeah. Although they skewer both sides. So naturally, yeah. I selected the one. All right. We're talking about this event that's going to happen in Miami tonight. It's called the Banzai. Is it what? The Banzai what?
Well, it used to be called Banzai. Now it's just USO Banzai. Support the Troops.
Okay. Got a lot of bands. Bands are kind of, you know, modern rock bands. But they're also going to have a statue of...
Saddam Hussein, this local artist, this woman. I just read this. I just read about this in the paper. She offered this. The morning show, you know, the goofy kind of morning shows that you hear, they're driving all of this. So anyhow, this woman called in. She offered to make this Saddam statue, which she did. And they're going to topple that with the help of the Florida Marlin Mermaids.
Oh, God. And they're also going to paintball shoot a sitting head of state. Can you imagine if somebody, like in France, they were having images of George W. Bush and people were shooting at it?
I know.
Now,
what about the flack over, you know, Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder impaling George Bush of George Bush mask, you know, on the microphone stand? So,
well,
this is okay to do this, though.
I was reading from George Orwell's 1984, and what they have in this Brave New World, to mix a few metaphors here, of 1984 in Oceania, in future England, they have what is called a 2 minutes hate, where they look at the enemy of Big Brother, it's Goldstein, and tell me if this isn't similar to what you imagine is going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
In its second minute, the hate rose to a frenzy. People were leaping up and down in their places and shouting at the tops of their voices in an effort to drown the maddening, bleeding voice that came from the screen. That was, you know, of Goldstein. The little sandy-haired woman had turned bright pink, and her mouth was opening and shutting like that of a landed fish. Even O'Brien's heavy face was flushed. He was sitting very straight in his chair. His pine goes on and on. The dark-haired girl behind Winston Smith had begun crying out, "Swine! Swine! Swine!" And suddenly she picked up a heavy Newspeak dictionary and flung it at the screen. In a lucid moment, Winston himself found that he was shouting with the others and kicking his heel violently against the rung of his chair. The horrible thing about the 2 minutes hate was not that one was obliged to act a part, but that it was impossible to avoid joining in. Within seconds, any pretense was always unnecessary. A hideous ecstasy of fear and vindictiveness, a desire to kill, to torture, to smash faces in with a sledgehammer, seemed to flow through the whole group of people like an electric current, turning one, even against one's will, into a grimacing, screaming lunatic. And yet the rage that one felt was an abstract, undirected emotion that could be switched from one object to another like the flame of a blow lamp.
Well, I don't know. I'm certainly hoping it doesn't turn into that tonight.
People just say, well, at root, that's what it's all about. And what is so really repulsive is that these people down there are doing it to get good ratings, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting. And, you know, it's, what can I say?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about this until today. Seriously, I'm going there, I'm making my appearance, and I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to walk around, though, and take note of all these things so I can tell you all about it on Monday.
Well, I don't think it's going to be quite like that. People will probably be yucking it up, I'm sure. Another section in here where they talk about how Big Brother began to alter the speech, so only a certain amount of a certain speak is allowable. I don't know who is even speaking here. Syme is speaking to Winston Smith, the protagonist. Don't you see, the whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought. The whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought. In the end, he says, we shall make thought crime literally impossible because there will be no words in which to express it. And that's what these monsters running our political system and our media want to accomplish.
Pretty gross.
Well, not me, pals. Oh. Yeah, I don't think any of you as well.
Oh, I'm wearing my Women Opposing War pin and my peace sign pin on my hat.
All right, we have a guest, but no time to tell us about it. Jim Hightower is next. Your calls, 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's all.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the street, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Brush to a Twix.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The Association of Professional Flight Attendants plans to hold a third vote on $340 million worth of wage and benefit concessions to American Airlines. The first vote held last week saw the flight attendants reject the plan. A second vote a day later approved the give-back package. But when American unveiled the bonus and pension protection plan for its executives after its unions had agreed to cuts, APFA President John Ward shed the air of diplomacy. In a message to the flight attendants, Ward says another vote is contentious, but Americans' duplicity in asking for sacrifices from its workers on one hand while fattening management on the other is beyond the bounds of decency.
Management would love nothing more than to bust this union. Let's not permit ourselves to do it for them.
Over the weekend, American CEO Don Cardy canceled the planned executive bonuses and sent a letter of apology to the unions. No word on when this third vote will be scheduled. The airline could file for bankruptcy at any time, regardless of what the flight attendants do.
The McDonald's Corporation takes over as lead concessionaire at a $200 million terminal opening this week at the Bradley International Airport in Hartford, Connecticut. And the fast food giant is eager to shake loose of the union representing workers at the old terminal. A state law passed last year obliges Mickey D's managers to hire employees of the previous concessionaire for at least 90 days, but a loophole would allow McDonald's to bypass the rule. A bill before the state Senate would shore up the loophole and give senior workers first crack at jobs in the new food court, but that's apparently too much for McDonald's to swallow. The company has hinted it may cancel its contract with the airport if the law is passed. Meanwhile, about 100 workers with as much as 30 years on the job could well be out of work, and if they are rehired, it'll be to a non-union position with significantly lower wages and benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Well, I was born in West Texas, pretty near California, far away from Dad's home in D.C. When I'm talking about myself, and they're talking about myself, all of us are talking about me.
George Bush's words.
Now, some may retort to personal attacks, take the high horse, claim the low road. But I am not a revengeful person. No, I simply respond with this oath.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Angeline Jordan is with me. You know, he suddenly has gotten very eloquent. He has found his way as the war president, hasn't he, Jolene?
Well, you know, with that calm, he has a sense of calm now that he's killed so many people. And he's,
well,
he's got the sense
go.
Of calm now that he's got got his oil and got control of the situation.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're expecting a call, although we're worrying whether it's going to happen, from Curtis Ellis, the IE America Radio Network entertainment and culture correspondent, calling in from Africa. But what we'll do first, we're callers, if you're on hold, stay there, and we'll get you next. We're going to do Jim Hightower, as we always do at this time on The Peter Werby Show.
Richard Nixon once said, "Politics would be a hell of a business if it weren't for the blankety-blank people." Yeah, Dick, what a drag this democracy thing is. Today, though, 30 years after he was forced to resign the presidency, the corrupt and snarling old Tricky Dick would undoubtedly be beaming about the business of politics, for it barely has room for people anymore, except those with big bucks, and Nixon always did favor them. Already, for example, the voting is underway for the 2004 Democratic presidential nominee. What, you say you didn't get your ballot yet? Sure you did. It's your checkbook. You are going to write a $2,000 check to one or more of the presidential contenders, aren't you? Or bundle up a couple of $100,000 from your business associates? This is what the corporate and other wealthy elites are doing right now in the nation's first and most important presidential primary. Months before any of us ordinary riffraff get to vote in any state primary, the wealthy are having individual or small group meetings with the contenders in what is known as the money primary. In corporate suites and in the living rooms of the rich, huge sums of money are being handed over to decide who will be the anointed front runner and what issues will be the focus of the Democratic campaign. In every presidential race of the past 20 years, the candidate who collected the most money before any vote of the people was taken went on to win the nomination. Barely 0.1% of us Americans give as much as $1,000 to a presidential candidate, yet this privileged minority has been choosing our presidents and setting the national agenda. The political pros say that candidates will have to collect more than $20 million each by the end of this year to be serious contenders. That's more than $60,000 a day, 7 days a week, for all of 2003. No wonder they don't have time to just... This is Jim Hightower saying, what a system, huh? Nixon would love it.
That's Jim Hightower on the Peter Werby Show. And, man, those endings get shorter and shorter, don't they, Jolene?
And boom. It's
boom,
been.
Yeah. And Jim, you can go to jimhightower.com. And Dennis Kucinich, who is running for president, the congressman from Cleveland, anti-war, very progressive, a man who would make sense to have as the president, will probably never, ever be there. He needs $20 million, just like Jim Hightower was telling us.
Yes. I'd give him money.
Well, people in Santa Fe, I don't know if he's going to be asking for money, but if you're listening to KTRC, Dennis Kucinich is going to be speaking in Santa Fe on Monday at 7 p.m. at the Santa Fe High School gym. So you can check that out.
And I'm trying to get him on this show.
Yeah, yeah. And on Monday, right off the bat at 2:06 Eastern Time, we're going to have Arianna Huffington.
Yes, we are.
About her wonderful book, Pigs at the Trough.
Yes.
The Racket Exposed. You go to my website, Peter Werby, PeterWerbe.com, and see all the information about the show and about Arianna Huffington. Here's Kodak in North Carolina on a cell phone. Kodak, it's Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome. Hey, Kodak, you with me? Well, I hear a little action there. All right, we're going to put him back on hold and see if Steve can sort it out. Here's Tim in Hartford. Tim, Peter Werby, Jolene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Well, I was going to give you a little entertainment news I got from last night, but first, can I plug something that's happening Sunday up at the State House in Hartford?
Sure,
we're
please.
Having a rally for single-payer health care.
Great.
And the AFL, the Green Party here, a dozen others, some local organizations. 1 to 4 o'clock, the State House in Hartford, Connecticut.
Wow.
That's just as simple as like you can put it, basically.
I mean, I got a chance of, what is it, a bat in hell, an ice cube in hell? I mean, all the money,
well, yeah,
all
well,
the money's spent. All the money is spent.
Instead of doing an hour on Dick Gephardt's health care plan on primetime ABC last night, they decided to continue the beating of the Dixie Chicks, as I call it. I thought I was going to call up and say, okay, this will be the last I hear about this.
Yeah.
They're going to apologize and move on because, you know, the war is over, I thought.
Yeah, well, no, not the ideological war. They want us to wind up like the people they rolled over, except there's a little bit more of the tens of millions of us that are saying no to George W. Bush, you know. Ooh. So then
I was watching this show and then it kind of struck me afterwards. Now, who did Diane Sawyer used to work for?
Remind us.
Richard Nixon.
There you go.
She did.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah,
oh, I like
I mean,
her
you
less
know, it's funny that
time.
She comes off as this, you know, quote, liberal and everything. She spent about an hour essentially saying, well, your apology wasn't good enough. Are you sure? You don't you want to say something more? And, you know, shouldn't this band break up? And just
it's
on
really
and on. And then the next morning I happened to walk, you know, and for the morning show, and there's Armstrong Williams, black conservative, saying that apology wasn't good enough.
Well, it was hardly an apology. I mean, he is right because, I mean, here is the Yahoo News story. Dixie Chick regrets choice of words, but what she was saying is that she probably shouldn't have said it like that. But she says, I feel me speaking out is the most patriotic thing I can do. People have died to give you this right, and I'm using it. And and if you go through the text of it, Marty, Marty McGuire.
Oh, okay.
Was she the sister? Is she the sister? She says that there was a lack of compassion, and Sawyer says, for whom? And she says, for me, for people that are questioning this, for the people that are about to die for this on both sides. That's what she's accusing Bush of. And then they appear naked on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, like it's telling every conservative critic, take this whatever and shove it.
Well, apparently they're going to continue next week on some, you know, the morning show on ABC, the Disney propaganda thing. Continue on with this controversy, apparently, which is never going to end. And I'm just going, you know, I like the group. You know, I heard of them before. They have great vocals, great instrumentalists and stuff, and bravo for some women out there doing their own music. But I'm just going, you know, do we have to have some sort of McCarthyism? Do we just keep on going, whether it's her or Moore or Robbins or Sarandon? Are these people have some sort of black mark for the rest of their lives?
Well, think about this, Tim, and I guess you're in a way you're saying the same thing. Natalie Maine said one sentence. I just want you to know that we're ashamed that George W. Bush is from the same state we are, from Texas or whatever. And this has been blown into this incident of national importance. In other words, this is like Saddam Hussein's Iraq. This is like Big Brother's Oceania, where one sentence becomes, I mean, here, of course, you don't get tortured and executed in Iraq, or you don't disappear into room 101 like you did in 1984. What you do is you just get pillared nationally to the point where, I mean, even if you come out all right, the Dixie Chicks, their concerts are selling out, their CD Home is number one, Michael Moore, all of his stuff is, you know, big time. Brandon and Robbins are having showings of Bull Durham. But, you know, probably the average actor or rock star would say, hey, you know, who needs this, right?
Well, it certainly affected Madonna. You know, as soon as, you know, she had her video with the grenade supposed to fall into George Bush's lap.
And that was a little over
now
the top.
There she goes. She's posted it. So it seems to be working on some.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll tell you, Madonna just came out just denouncing American values.
Mm.
All right, Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah, you can read all about it in People Magazine, your favorite magazine, Peter.
Here's Kodak. We have him now. Kodak, is Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes. How you doing today, Peter and Jalene?
Doing good.
Kodak. Like
good. I was on Tom Hartman's show that comes on earlier. He was having an open debate regarding the media giants and the upcoming ruling regarding the deregularization of the FCC.
Yeah, Kodak, let me just remind people who Tom Hartman is. Tom Hartman is one of our wonderful new talk show hosts on the IE America Radio Network, and he is broadcasting in two of the hours where I used to, noon to two. Wonderful show. Wonderful man.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, he brought up the point, I don't know if it was on his show yesterday or Mike Malloy. Rupert Murdoch also has an interest in buying the XM radio channel, which is all tied in with the Dish Network.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
It's a full racket. It is a full service racket.
And we say get serious and get Sirius Satellite, S-A-R-I-U-S.
Yes.
And don't get XM. Plus, XM is so wimpy. They don't put anything like this on there. They don't have also, do you know that Sirius is so groundbreaking? They have a transgender channel.
Really? Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Go Sirius Satellite.
Gay Sirius. Sirius Gay.
We had a call-in show this morning regarding the Dixie Chicks and their statement. And one of the callers called in very irate, and he just simply asked Tom Hartman now.
Wait, you're kind of breaking up, Kodak, here.
He asked the caller, what did the Dixie Chicks say? And actually, he said that he didn't have any idea what they actually said.
But no, but they've been identified as the enemy of Big Brother, so they must suffer the 2 minutes hate. Right.
He said they blast the president and they weren't supporting the troops. So, you know, quickly cleared that up. And my last comment is going to be toward Jalene. I'm going to have to call her to task.
What did I do now?
You're drinking and driving.
I know you have to support your husband in his endeavors.
You think I do?
Yes, and then, but on several occasions I've heard you say you want to do more, and also to organize the Naked Ladies Against the War, whatever that campaign is.
So, yes. Yes.
So here's your chance.
Here's your chance.
So I could just get naked in front of all of this.
I think what you should do.
Thousands of people.
How about this? Riding into the event naked on a white horse. There you go. Thank you, Kodak. Thank you for joining us. Who was that? I can't remember. Remember that was something in English history that.
I'm just visualizing it all.
I can just kind of see Troy. This is an event we're talking about. This is a Clear Channel event that Jalene's husband Troy is being forced to kind of put on at one of these pro troop things where they're going to be. They've got this big statue of Saddam Hussein and they're going to just like the original
topple
one.
It's
going to topple. It's like the original one. Just this staged event that was really done by Ahmed Chalibi's folks and the U.S. Marines.
Right. It's just ridiculous.
In fact, if you want to see that whole
stupid.
If you want to see this whole report of the stage toppling of the Saddam statue, you can go to my website, peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com.
You know what? I have a feeling this thing might make some national news.
Oh, Lady Godiva, we're told.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember Godiva chocolates? Is Lady Godiva on the line? Oh, well, I'm sorry here. Lady Godiva, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, hello, boy.
Hello,
I'm
Lady.
I'm naked, I'm on horseback. Lady Godiva, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, we can't. There's too much in our brain boxes.
That's the truth. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Wait a minute. Before you start, I recognize this voice. This is Billy from Latte Land.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, all right. Here, let me just read you this, though, because I was going to, but I got so overwhelmed by the fact that Lady Godiva was actually going to get on the air. Instead, I get you. But anyways, Butch in Nacogdoches, he says, it's the name that you can't pronounce. He says, hey, Peter and Jalene, why don't we make a statue of moron Bush and topple it in public view? It would make more sense. Hey, people all over America, all over the world, statues of George W. Bush.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Have you been to my website, Billy? Because there is a graphic of a George W. Bush statue being pulled down. It's very, very.
When did you put that one up?
About a month ago.
Well, I must have seen it and forgotten by now. You know, you have a lot of older fans who just don't remember.
Yeah, well, okay. But also, there is the Dixie Chicks cover, completely naked for you older guys.
I just fell in love with the Dixie Chicks last night.
You liked them, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, she was such a stand-up little girl. She didn't back down. And the point that she was making, I think, is so much more important than anything else that I learned over this thing, and that is how hateful these people are about just being an American with an opinion.
Sure. Hey, you know one thing about people like you and me, particularly Billy, and now Jalene for the last 5 or 6. You know, this is our business. This is what we think about. This is what we read every day. And the Dixie Chicks were simply these kind of crossover country singers that just had decent, honest feelings without a great depth. I'm assuming this, and I think it's probably true.
Well, no, you are right, because...
And yet, and here, they're standing up in front of the entire, literally, world, and they're, how old are they, 24, 25, something
28
like?
And around 32.
Oh, they are that old, okay. But still, just, I mean, they're being called traitors and Saddam's angels and all this, and yeah, I thought they were really admirable.
And their fans basically are come from that, you know, patriotic no matter what group, and yet they still were willing not to back down and they're throwing money away when they do it. And I was just proud of them as Americans that they get it. And I didn't think people from the South and country people, I'm being, you know, a gross generalist.
You're gross got prejudice,
that.
Yeah.
But there they go. I thought they did the best thing they could ever do for country, for the South. For everybody last night.
That's why when I have dinner, it's French food, French wine, and Dixie Chicks in the background.
Let's talk about Jalene for a second.
Jalene.
Oh, no.
Julene?
Yes.
Of course you have to go to the affair.
Yes.
Don't, however, have any plan in mind on how to react.
Okay.
Don't just say, I'm going to go in there and get out as fast as possible.
Okay.
Go in there and be as present as possible. Be as honest as possible.
Because they all know about me. They
exactly. So there's no point.
Know.
You know, why not give them what they want, which is if there's anything inappropriate or you have any feelings about something, express them. And the first time someone looks at you funny or anything else, you go, and this is why Clear Channel is dangerous.
Oh,
and
boy.
This is why when Clear Channel, you see, it's like why, you know, one of these guys got up recently and said we need to get rid of the 22nd Amendment.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, 22nd Amendment is one that doesn't allow us to keep voting for
the
King
same
George.
For the, yeah, all right, I gotcha.
And so what you have is something like, for example, Clear Channel, who, you know, who really wants to be able to continue to just build and build and build, even though they have way too much control. And the only way they get to do that is if regulations controlled by the Republicans and the FCC, controlled by, you know, the
look,
younger...
look, Billy, we are going to be lucky if we even have a 2004 election, because by the time they come around next year, is the ratings will probably be in the toilet again for Bush. All right, gotta run. Thank you, Billy. 1-800-TALK-YES. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network. Wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right, Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly three-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. The music of Chumbawamba. You can go to Chumba, C-H-U-M-B-A.com or .org, and they're singing their great song, Homophobia, the Worst Disease, the only program in America that dares to give a big kiss to our gay brothers and sisters. Jillian Jordan, you ready to give them a big kiss on three?
Ready.
One, two, three. You know, I'm just shoving it in the face of all these bigots and homophobes and all. I mean, they are what's making America so bad. You know that?
Yeah, I do.
They are making their problems all the rest of our problems. And, you know, I was going to say, this is probably appropriate. I know a couple of you are waiting. I'd like to get you in before the break. I didn't even, this was right in the Rick Santorum, the bigoted senator from Pennsylvania's interview with AP, and he's denouncing homosexuality. He says, that's not the pick on homosexuality. It's not, you know, man on child or man on dog or whatever the case may be.
And who's thinking about man on dog?
Yeah. So the reporter says, I'm sorry, I didn't think I was going to talk about man on dog with the United States Senator. It's kind of freaking me out.
That would freak me out, too.
Here's Greg in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Greg, Peter Werby, and Jillian Jordan, tell me quick. We're almost out of time.
I was going to tell Jillian to make a point of telling the folks in Miami that when they pull down the statue that this will teach Saddam Hussein for flying that plane full of anthrax into the Empire State Building.
That's probably what these people think.
All right, thanks.
Who to hate.
That's right.
Bye.
Thank you, Greg.
That's good.
Here's Jeff. Oh, damn, I just hung up on Jeff.
Jeff, call us back.
This is wait a minute. No, he's not there.
Peter, you've been on a good roll, though. I haven't hung up on anyone for a long time.
The problem is that you have to know, you have to do it in a new special way.
Technology.
Yeah. Rick Santorum, what a piece of work. Carolyn Kay, the webmistress from MakeThemAccountable.com, she writes, is anyone keeping a list of Republicans arrested for sexual interest in little girls? There was the Connecticut mayor and the aide in Colorado, as well as Susan Smith's stepfather, and now it's this Republican fundraiser who's taking photographs of, like, teenagers, you know, sexual photographs, engaged with sex with her. And it turned out that he was head of a group that helped to pay the legal bills of former Reagan officials Ollie North and Casper Weinberger.
No.
I mean, can you believe these guys?
No, I can't.
That's either. What the Republican Party is all about, hypocrisy. Wow. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about Korea. We have a special guest on. Hey, these guys do have weapons of mass destruction. They found those. They say, we've got them. Right back.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. American forces have collared a former top Iraqi spy just hours after former Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz surrendered. Officials say Farouk Hijazi was detained near the Syrian border. Hijazi was director of external operations for the Iraqi intelligence agency in the mid-1990s when it allegedly tried to assassinate former President Bush. The first U.S. troops to leave the Persian Gulf have started packing up their gear and are looking forward to going home and reflecting on their mission. Navy medic Henry Gonzalez says he's generated some life-changing memories during the war.
The Iraqi people just came out and were just swarming us, you know. It was just, it reminded me of something I heard about my grandfather had gone through in World War II, you know, when they were liberating towns in Europe. And these people are just so happy.
The 24th Marine Expedition Unit will head out in the next 7 to 10 days. U.S. officials don't necessarily believe North Korean claims that it has nuclear weapons and is reprocessing nuclear fuel rods. Authorities say the situation needs to be assessed to determine what's true and what's not. Yesterday, North Korea declared it had nuclear weapons. The World Health Organization is pleased with the way the Chinese city of Shanghai is handling SARS. Team leader James McGuire says they're happy about the cooperation city officials are offering and the amount of work that's been done to fight the disease.
Also appreciate greatly the openness and frankness that was extended to us. We were able to go anywhere we wanted, talk with whomever we wanted, see whatever we wanted.
Shanghai is increasing its public awareness campaigns about SARS and also mass disinfecting public areas. China has more than 2,600 reported cases of SARS. 115 people have died. More in a moment.
Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
The gross domestic product grew by just 1.6% in the first 3 months of the year. According to the Commerce Department, the growth was just slightly faster than the 1.4% growth recorded in the fourth quarter last year. The new figures fell short of what many economists had hoped for. Existing home sales are down, but sales of new homes surged in March. New government figures show new home sales were up 7.3% last month, and that exceeded analyst expectations. More after this.
Do you love your car or truck? Like gaze into its headlights, worship the ground it rolls on kind of love? Then take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be given the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, the timing is perfect. Check out acdelco.com for an independent service center near you. Because you want your love to last forever. Or 200,000 miles, whichever comes first. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
The United Auto Workers Union reportedly lost some members in 2002 due to a weak economy and a loss of manufacturing jobs. The union ended 2002 with almost 639,000 members, down from about 701,000 the year before. The figures are printed in the union's latest financial report filed with the U.S. Labor Department. The state of California is taking some pressure off automakers under the gun to produce so-called zero-emission vehicles. The California Air Resources Board has voted 8-3 to lower the number of such cars that must be on state roads by 2005. It will also allow car makers to meet the mandate by building fuel cell cars as well as electric ones. The Minnesota Timberwolves hold a 2-1 lead in the first round NBA Western Conference playoff series. Minnesota downed the Lakers 114-110 last night in overtime. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome to the only program in America that says we eat French food washed down by French wine and send a big kiss out to our gay brothers and sisters. That's right, Jalene Jordan?
You know it, Peter.
And actually, we do that. I say that mostly to be provocative and just to stick it in the face of these bigoted conservatives. But we do that anyway.
Yeah, right? We do.
We always have. Yeah. And some of the things we've been talking about on the broadcast is Ted Turner has called very properly, and this is not just an insult, Rupert Murdoch, owner of Fox News, a warmonger. He promoted the war, something he personally benefited from in terms of ratings.
Yeah, big time.
Head of the BBC essentially said American media coverage of the war, actually the invasion and occupation, to be very accurate, of Iraq is disgraceful and sort of a case study of how he does not want the BBC to begin, to become. He says that there is a difference that is extraordinarily important between journalism and patriotism. Let the politicians wave the flag. We want to know what's going on in the world. And if you watch the medium, the single unitary voice of power in America, the television, the newspapers, you're never going to find out what's going on. Also, Jalene Jordan, my co...
It's starting just to really weigh on me.
No, she knows what I'm going to say. It's, people don't. There is an event that her husband's radio stations in Miami, Florida, where she's broadcasting from, is going to be holding tonight. It's sort of a support the troops thing. And one of the it's all, you know, this sort of more media manipulation, all for ratings, folks. Not like any of these people running these stations are particularly patriotic. They just want to get the ratings.
Yeah. So they've, his boss.
His boss, not right. Not Troy. We love Troy. Troy, we love you.
He fought it, yes.
He fought it, yeah. But there's going to be a statue of Saddam Hussein that's going to be pulled over in the same staged manner that the original one was, I guess. So this is appropriate. Yeah.
Brought on by the morning show.
Yeah, and we were talking some about the Dixie Chicks as well. All right, so we'll talk more about that. Norman Solomon,
Executive director of the Institute for Public Affairs. He's also author of the book Target Iraq with Reese Ehrlich.
Is he giving himself these fancy titles? Executive director. I mean, he didn't say anything.
He should, because he does great work.
He does. But, right.
Hey, next hour also, I want to quick mention Kathy Kelly from Voices in the Wilderness. Mm-hmm. She went to Baghdad months ago, if anyone who's a regular listener remembers, and she just got back last night. She's been in Baghdad this whole time through the entire thing. She's talked to these people. She has a million stories to tell us. We should have her on the air, really, for an hour.
Well, maybe we can. Actually, we don't have the time to. But Norman Solomon also, when he was in Iraq, talked to Tariq Aziz, who was just collared, as they said, on the stupid news that at the top of our hour.
Hey, was he like the four of spades?
I don't know.
You go to, you know, they're selling those.
I know. Go to my website, peterwerby.com, PETERWERBE.com, and you can see the ace of spades, and it's got a Darth Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein. All right, let's go to our guest right now. Bill Messler has been on the show before, and he's a former editor of the Korea Economic Journal and writes on Korea for a number of different outlets. And this comes as the nuclear talks in Beijing ended. And with North Korea, they don't have to hunt for the weapons of mass destruction. They say they have them. Bill Messler, thanks for joining me on the Peter Werby Show.
Oh, it's great to be here.
What does this all tell us? I mean, here, you know, we claim one country is hiding these to the extent that no one can find them, and then this other country, Korea, is saying, hey, we got them.
Well, it's a very complicated situation, Peter, and as you know, the mainstream media can't always get to the root of it with these little sound bites. And we've had this story, I don't know how many times over the last several years, these revelations that North Korea has nuclear weapons. Now, the truth of the matter is more difficult to ascertain. In the past, when this has happened, it's come out in later days that there were misunderstandings, mistranslations, and it's really hard to say whether or not the North Koreans are using the nuclear card as a bluff. They're looking at what happened in Iraq, and the lesson they've learned, and the lesson a lot of similar countries are learning, is that weapons of mass destruction are not the cause of that war, but they are in fact the way to prevent an invasion and an attack. So that isn't lost on the North Koreans. The truth of the matter is a lot more complicated, and there's certainly a lot of debate and will continue to be a lot of debate over whether the North Koreans have a nuclear weapon, whether they've had one for a long time, or whether in fact this has been a political maneuver by them.
Well, everyone has, you know, ever since this first arose, has made the obvious comparison. Here's a country that has, Iraq, that has United Nations inspectors in there. They can't find any weapons of mass destruction. On the other hand, you have this country, North Korea, that's threatening to drown the U.S. in a sea of fire, and they're saying, well, let's negotiate with them. Is it simply because of a fear that they do have nuclear weapons and would use them? That the United States has taken such a kid glove approach to them?
Well, I wouldn't say they are taking a kid glove approach. I think that there's a lot of people within the administration that very much want a military confrontation with North Korea. That came out this week with the leaking of a Donald Rumsfeld memo calling for regime change there. And that was done clearly to sabotage the peace talks that Colin Powell was in and the State Department had engaged in China, and the timing was can't be mistaken. And there's certainly people there in the administration that do do want a military confrontation with North Korea.
And this was a purposeful leak, no doubt.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the timing is just the day before the talks were taking place. It had to be a purposeful leak, and it was certainly a leak done to sabotage those very talks because, of course, that set the tone. The North Koreans read those articles that appeared in European newspapers and, oddly enough, didn't make the news in the United States. But they read those newspaper articles and, of course, reacted as one would have predicted they would have reacted, with hostility and the typical bellicose statements.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this is pigeonholing the Bush administration into a position of a military confrontation, as opposed to some sort of agreement that could salvage the situation and lead to more engagement between North Korea and the West, and particularly South Korea, and which would be so important in improving the lives of the people in North Korea.
Well, now, one of the things that North Korea says it wants is a non-aggression treaty with the United States, where the United States would promise not to invade North Korea, and I guess in return for dismantling its weapons. But I wonder, given the history now of the last few years of unilateralism on the part of the Bush government, why would they even trust them enough to, you know, they would say, okay, well, we decided to withdraw from this treaty of mutual non-aggression. Yeah, I mean, is there any basis? I mean, we always think about these awful other countries and how untrustful they are. I certainly people see the United States as that.
Well, you're certainly right, and that's why the North Koreans have insisted that they do have unilateral negotiations with the United States, because they don't want some sort of promise through a third party. They want a signed agreement that is set in stone and guaranteed by all of the political actors in the region: China, Japan, South Korea, Russia, but they need this commitment from the White House, and that's really their ultimate goal. I mean, they've been willing to put their nuclear program on the table. They've shown that in the past. In 1994, they halted that program unilaterally without talks with the United States, which was a precursor to what then took place and the agreements that were then signed. This is something that the North Koreans have been seeking for quite a long time. And I think to most observers around the world, it's not a huge step for the United States to take.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the reluctance upon the Bush administration side has been disturbing, and it leads one to believe that there are a lot of conflicting ideas about what should happen there. And certainly, if we look at the history of this administration, we can see the Defense Department and the Hawks gaining increasing prominence, and it appears that their viewpoint is winning out.
Bill Mesler is my guest. He's a former editor at the Korea Economic Journal, and we're talking about the latest developments on the Korean Peninsula, where these talks in Beijing ended with North Korea claiming to have nuclear weapons and might test, export, or even use them, according to the summary here from the Associated Press. Now, where does this personal enmity on the part of Bush come from, to the fact that he called the leader of North Korea a pygmy, which, I mean, is certainly a racist statement. The pygmies are some wonderful people. They're some of the most wonderful people on the planet. But I don't know what he means. I suppose it was the best he could do as an insult.
Well, the animosity has been set in stone since the end of the Korean War. And, in fact, you know, a peace treaty between the United States and North Korea has never really been signed. So technically, it can be said that we are technically at war with them still. And there's certainly a lot of hard feelings at the Pentagon, and a lot of memories, and even those who are, you know, from, of course, a different generation, that war was seen as a defeat, and there's always been a desire for revenge on that side, and certainly that hasn't dissipated. That's something that anyone who goes through the military colleges is trained in and indoctrinated with.
Any speculation, Bill Mesler, where this is all going? And for all practical purposes, it does not seem that the American people are ready for another war, to somehow recreate another Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein out of the leader of North Korea. It probably is not going to work, and particularly in a run-up to the election.
Well, a couple years ago, I was actually optimistic that the Bush administration's position would change and gradually a pragmatic position would take hold, particularly because even our closest allies in the region, South Korea and Japan, have been really disturbed by the Bush administration's position since it took office. But unfortunately, it's hard to see that we're going in any other direction other than towards the military confrontation. And I hate to be a pessimist about it, but indication. But then again, some people always say, well, whenever you're looking at North Korea and things look bad, they're never as bad as they are. And whenever things look good, they're never as good as they are. So,
well, there's tens of millions of us in the anti-war movement. And I think the end result and more so every day of the war against Iraq has proven us correct. And we haven't disbanded, so we're ready to roll again. Bill Messler, if we want to see the Korea Economic Journal, do you have off the top of your head the website of that?
I worked there in Seoul about 10 years ago.
Okay.
So that's
right. Well, I will.
We were still using typewriters at that time.
I remember those.
Believe it, Peter. So
all right.
I haven't followed the website or anything.
I will get that and put it on my website. Well, thank you so much for being with us again. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you for the information. All right, we'll be right back to get your calls. If you're on hold, please stay there, and we will be right to you next. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan will rejoin me. We'll talk a little more about, let's turn it over to callers, because we can still talk about this Clear Channel event in Miami where they're going to be toppling a mock statue of Saddam Hussein. Someone wrote in and said, why don't we get statues of Bush and pull them down? I like that. That could be done all across America. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's our phone number.
You love your car. You park it at the far end of the lot. You've got a special name for it. And you take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be treated to the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, there's never been a more perfect time to pamper it. Go to acdelco.com to find an independent service center near you. It's the least you can do for a car named the Beige Bomber. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing Quick Dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. Allivert is prescription strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New Quick Dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it? Wherever you are. Use as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, We talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steff Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
Steve writes in to calltalkyes at yahoo.com. He says, I'm not a country western fan, but today I bought a Dixie Chicks album. I think this is the greatest thing that could happen to the DCs. It is great press, and they are just getting more popular and richer. Tell the neocons, the neoconservatives, to keep it up. It's good for the girls. This email in, too. This is from Mark in Kansas City. He says, at calltalkyes at yahoo.com. He says he works for an apparel company in Kansas City, and he works in the art department. He sees the art that's decorating the garments that go out. We have military contracts and create apparel for them, and I saw a cap that I found very appropriate. The cap was black and had the words Operation Iraqi Freedom on it, and right in the middle is one of the popular variations of the Jolly Roger, you know, the skull and crossbones.
Oh.
The one that replaces the crossbones with swords and even has an eye patch over the left eye. How appropriate is that, says Mark. Jeez. The Pirates of Iraq. Here's Frank in Midtown Manhattan. Boy, I wish I was there. It must be beautiful day there. Frank, welcome.
It is a beautiful day. You're absolutely right, Peter. How are you?
Good. Last time I was there was February 15th, and it was about 18 degrees.
We had a bad winter.
Yeah. Wow.
I recall yesterday the theme word coming out of the White House, out of the mouthpiece, Mr. Ari Fleischer, was punishment. Everybody had to be punished. France had to be punished. And along those lines, I was watching the interview last night with Diane Sawyer, and I think the only people that need to be punished are Mr. Hicks from Clear Channel.
Sure. Buddy.
He should be punished for fabricating news.
Yeah, well, except what I don't know if you heard me earlier, Frank. I was saying this is their job, to fabricate news. They're not interested in information. They're interested in putting across a specific message. And a lot of people in America have accepted and adopted that message, and you see them duck speaking it. We were talking about 1984 earlier, which you speak from your throat rather than from your heart or from your brain.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why these people need to be legislated. They're anti-regulation for the sole purpose of total domination.
Yeah, just more, more, more.
Exactly.
All the time. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Thank you, Frank.
Great listening to you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Frank.
I was actually had a hotel, Marilyn and I did, and we went to the big march, 400,000 to a million, we'll never know. Like all of a sudden, I forgot his name, famous columnist for Newsday, said, Jimmy Breslin, said that there was a million people at the anti-war demonstration on February 15th, that Saturday, and it was so cold. And we were right on Central Park, our hotel, and I was thinking, why am I here? If it was like a day like this, I would have been just sitting across the street in Central Park, just kind of watching all the people go by.
Peter, I love Central Park.
Yeah,
it has an energy of its own.
Hey,
very unique.
This is a hell of a segue. On the front page of the New York Times today, it was I couldn't even watch it. I had to put a piece of paper over the photograph. It was the head of a skeleton, not even completely skeletized, that was at some Saddam Hussein burial ground, you know, where they had prisoners that they had executed and all that. And it was almost obscene to put this on the cover. And there's been a lot of that in the Times, including this article, Iraqis Tell of a Reign of Torture and Maiming. And this is by Craig Smith in Baghdad. And I was thinking, what good do these articles do now? Again, it's not information that we can use. It is to provide this message of support for the imperial invasion and occupation of Iraq.
Yes.
Because when this would have been important to be on the front page of the Fifth Estate, as this was the other day, would have been in the 1980s. When any number of us and people that were aware of Human Rights Watch that never got near the front page of the New York Times was screaming bloody murder about the Reagan and Bush administrations, that you are supporting this torture state, that this man has chemical weapons, that he is the most undemocratic, repressive man imaginable, and instead there's Darth Rumsfeld shaking hands with him. So this stuff on the front page of the New York Times is a load of crap. It is simply state propaganda, and if you go through it, there is not a word of there's not a lie in it. There's not a single thing in it, Jolene, that is untrue. That's not the point. The point is, where is it positioned, and why is it positioned now?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, Norman Solomon, the executive director. Should we make fun of him? You know,
don't make fun of Norman.
He doesn't like
Peter.
That. I tried once before.
Don't do it.
Okay, I won't. I
he's
love
too
Norman.
Nice. He no, is. He's the nicest man on the planet. That's why.
I'm sure not. You're right. I'm a talk show host.
I mean, think about it.
We'll be right back with Norman Solomon. He talked to Tariq Aziz, who was just captured. Peter Werby, Jolene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES.
Do you love your car or truck? Like gaze into its headlights, worship the ground it rolls on kind of love? Then take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be given the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, the timing is perfect. Check out acdelco.com for an independent service center near you. Because you want your love to last forever. Or 200,000 miles, whichever comes first. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on iAmerica.
Religion is helping some people see conservation in a whole new light. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Efforts to preserve wilderness are typically based on scientific knowledge or economic analysis, but according to Gary Gardner of the World Watch Institute, religion and ritual can also help people understand the value of nature. Gardner says rituals create memories and psychological attachments to natural objects, and he says people are reviving these ancient strategies for conservation.
Ritual is being used again today to help us think about the way that we relate to things like forests or trees. And we saw this in the case of Thailand, where ecological monks or environmentalist monks, as they're sometimes called, have been very active in trying to preserve the environment and particularly preserve trees.
Gardner has written a chapter on religion and the environment for a new book, The State of the World 2003. He says Buddhist monks have been leading an effort to protect Thailand's imperiled forests. In one case, the monks wrapped a traditional saffron robe around a tree and ordained it as if it was a new convert to their faith. People from nearby villages don't think of the ordained tree as an actual monk, but rather as a sacred symbol for life deserving of protection. Gardner says the Buddhist faith helps its followers see mystical value in the natural world, and while ordaining a tree might seem strange to many people, Gardner says the reasoning behind it is fairly common.
You know, the Biodiversity Project in Wisconsin did a poll last year in which they asked people, well, why should we protect the environment? The second most common answer that they received was because it is God's creation. And this is among a cross-section of Americans.
Gardner says the sense of a spiritual connection to the natural world can be a powerful force for conservation. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk Yes. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Another one of those songs, the thousands of anti-war songs written during the run-up to Bush's illegal and unnecessary war. That's Isham from Detroit, a great rock rapper. Let's bring back to the Peter Werby Show our friend Norman Solomon. Norman Solomon is executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He is the co-author of another one of those very successful books. Here we're supposed to be these pariahs, but yet these books are doing real well. It's called Target Iraq, and he participated in three meetings with Tariq Aziz last fall and winter in Baghdad. Norman Solomon, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter.
Let me just run something by you. You know, you get these epiphanies every once in a while. We were talking about the situation where Jeline Jordan's husband, unfortunately, and against his will, he runs these radio stations in Miami, and he has to preside over this one of these pro-war, I mean, isn't a war, why are they still having these? Anyways, this kind of pro-war rally, it's a Clear Channel station in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
So among other things that they're doing, some of this is very ominous. They're having paintball shoots at Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. That's kind of understandable. But also at President Chirac of France, taking shots at a sitting president of a Western country.
Yeah, this is the if you're not with us, you're against us mentality.
Sure. Now, one of the things they're doing, a local artist has made a huge statue of Saddam Hussein, and they're going to pull it over, just like the staged event in Baghdad. And I advocated on the program before you came on that, I'm missing a little element here. Yeah, that a listener emailed in and said, we ought to make statues of George W. Bush and pull those down in the same manner. So I'm thinking, Norman Solomon, that this could get kind of, you know, if there were people that objected to this, like pro-war, pro-Bush people. But can you imagine the spectacle of people fighting whether to keep up or pull down a statue of George Bush? I love it.
Well, I think that John Ashcroft may be drafting a constitutional amendment to make that illegal.
Oh, well, gee, and we'll start having art exhibits that only have the portrait of George Bush in them.
Well, just a curtain over the right parts of the right people.
All right. Now, Farouk Hijazi, who was once the head of Hussein's intelligence service, has been captured. And also Tariq Aziz, who you met with, who is another top official in the Saddam Hussein government. And you met with him. You didn't particularly like him, though. Am I correct?
No, actually, I didn't. He was pretty much like a tape loop. He would say the same things over and over almost, from one meeting to the next. And, you know, I was sitting in as part of delegations and meetings that happened last fall and then as recently as 3 months ago.
Hmm. And what was the occasion? I mean, people must find this strange that you were over there talking to Tariq Aziz. So it's not exactly, it wasn't you and Tariq sitting around shooting the breeze.
No, definitely not. We weren't toasting marshmallows or watching a ball game or anything. No, I had worked to organize a trip by U.S. Congress member Nick Rahal and former U.S. Senator James Aberesk and the head of a group called Conscience International, Jim Jennings. And the four of us went over as a delegation to Baghdad last September, and we did have a meeting with Saddam Hussein, and then, or not with Saddam Hussein, we didn't see him at all, but we did meet with Tariq Aziz. And then last December with Sean Penn, we met with Tariq Aziz. And then late January with the former head of the UN Oil for Food Program, Dennis Halliday. And I was obviously kind of going along to assist and mostly just listen to the conversation.
Now, Norman Solomon, you probably never got anything candid out of these guys, did you? Because what's really interesting, and I don't know, will we ever, we may find this out, and people probably will write their memoirs, is they must have known this was coming. They must have known that their army was dust. They know that they don't have any weapons, operational weapons of mass destruction. So it was just a matter of time before there was this invasion and this occupation that's taking place now. But there's no idea really to get an idea into their thinking, is there?
Well, there was a real sense of gloom, especially with the subsequent visits. But even last September, when Iraq had not yet decided whether to allow UN inspectors back in, Tariq Aziz said, "We're doomed if we do and doomed if we don't." And I think he had it. He grokked it even back then.
That he understood fully that there was nothing that the government of Saddam Hussein could do that could forestall this. I wonder why then they gave up those Samud missiles. I suppose hoping against hope that they could forestall an invasion, because world opinion was against an invasion, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they felt that since Bush was determined to go to war, that public opinion was crucial, and that even if the war started, perhaps an anti-war movement would grow so strong that the war would be halted by the Pentagon, which we tried to say. I tried to say when I talked to some Iraqi kind of medium-level officials. I'm not saying they took me seriously, but I just said, look, that isn't going to happen. If the war starts, this will be nonstop until Bush gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because to some extent that's the charge that the right wing makes, is that that we at home and people across the world and the countries across the world that opposed the war actually strengthened the Iraqi resolve.
Well, I think it was world opinion. You know, the kind of the corollary of that claim is that we should just sit down and be quiet.
Sure.
You know, and we see a country going to war without any valid reason and getting ready to slaughter large numbers of people, and we should just keep our mouths shut as though the First Amendment can be canceled lest it have any effect that some militarists don't want.
Now, Bush was interviewed yesterday, and he even had, as I said, I could just puke, but it says here in the New York Times today, in describing the war from his perspective, Bush acknowledged combined acknowledgments of doubt and pressures with accounts of dramatic moments and humor, including his fascination with the relentlessly upbeat accounts of heroic Iraqi resistance provided by the information minister, Mohammed Saeed al-Sahaf. Am I saying that? You know, I never see these guys on television because I watch so little, so I'm sometimes at a loss how to pronounce them, but I guess I did okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And laughing, Mr. Bush said, "He's my man. He was great. Somebody accused us of hiring him and putting him in there. He was classic. Ha, ha, ha." You're a media critic, Norman Solomon, and you worked with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. So you've seen people on all sides of the equation. How would you rank, like, this Minister of Information with, say, Ari Fleischer?
Oh, Ari Fleischer is much slicker. And I think that, in general, the Iraqi regime, I mean, as I said on a BBC interview when I was in Iraq last September, it was a police state. And I was always out front about that. In our book, Target Iraq, we refer to Saddam Hussein as a mass murderer. And the regime was very clunky in general, with a few exceptions, Tariq Aziz being one, but generally very clunky in its PR operations. I mean, the people who ran the so-called Ministry of Information, if they worked on Madison Avenue, they would be fired before lunchtime.
Now, I was just commenting. In fact, maybe I can get some verification, or you tell me I'm barking up the wrong tree. You've probably seen in the New York Times over the last few days, and you know, it's funny. The only newspaper, hard copy newspaper I see is the New York Times. I still haven't brought myself to resubscribe to Detroit News and Detroit Free Press because
you have a problem with union busters, huh?
Yeah. I don't like people that brought in, you know, goon squads. And actually, this is a word in the title here. They actually maimed some of our union brothers and sisters. But anyway, Be that what it may. It says Iraqis tell of a reign of torture and maiming. Front page of the New York Times the other day.
Yeah.
And accurate. And there's not, as I was saying to the audience, there's not a word in here that I can tell that seems to be untrue on the face of it. It was a torture state. But I said, what good does this do now? In fact, this is not about information. This is about conveying a message that power wants to be implanted in people's minds. And when this needed to be put forth was in the 1980s, and you couldn't get a word of this near the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in late January, when we had this meeting with Tariq Aziz, we brought a Time magazine that had Donald Rumsfeld on the cover, and the response from Aziz was, well, Rumsfeld, he's quite a warmonger, but he didn't seem that way in the 1980s when he came to visit. Of course, that's when he was in tandem with the Reagan administration tilting towards and cozying up to this torturer, Saddam Hussein. I think that it's not the commissions like stories like that, but the omissions that are so severe, like Aldous Huxley said, the greatest lies are silence about truth. You know, Egypt is a regime torturing people who are political prisoners right now, and the U.S. is sending billions of dollars to that government. I'm waiting for all the front page stories about the torture in Egypt while it's happening.
You know, it's pretty interesting, Norman Solomon. I have expended hours and hours and hours of words about this big lie called the invasion and occupation of Iraq. You've done wonderful things. The Institute for Public Accuracy has. And I was so struck. I was reading the weekly paper in Detroit, the Metro Times, which frequently carries your column. And John Sinclair, the old manager of the MC5 rock band, whatever he was of the White Panther Party, has a wonderful column in there called Masters of War. As Bob Dylan said about the song he wrote, it's the meanest song he ever wrote. But in it, John Sinclair writes, Allen Ginsberg said, the name of yesterday's newspaper is amnesia.
Mm.
Man, don't you wish you had said something like that? I sure do.
It is true.
And it's like everyone has taken the Zen principle of living in the eternal now. So when you, it's funny, when you bring up to these Bushoids about the history of Iraq and the connection of the U.S. and these same people, they just kind of look at you blankly.
Yeah, well, that's going too far to actually say that history matters, and not just a selective history. You know, and one more quote: Orwell said, "Those who control the past control the future; those who control the present control the past." That's what media bias is really all about.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think who didn't buy into this. But, you know, Noam Chomsky's phrase, willful ignorance, that essentially, because, hey, you and I, as far as I know, came from human parents, right? And we were raised up in America. And yet we have feelings and beliefs and perspectives and ideals and visions that are so off the mark of official society. And we're not freaks. I mean, there's tens of millions of us.
Yeah, there's so much hypocrisy and ironies that are not authorized for recognition, you might say. And I really think mass media is kind of an irony-free zone because the hypocrisies are just so extreme. If it wasn't so deadly, the U.S. foreign policy would be hysterically funny.
Well, I was telling my wife, when I said, why do I have to go to work? I'm looking at the front page of the Free Press, and it says, U.S. warns Iran not to meddle in Iraqi affairs. And then the other headline is, Rumsfeld says a Islamic government will not be permitted. And I'm going, hello? Why do I have to really go on the air and connect these dots?
Yeah, I mean, it is so preposterous.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sometimes people will congratulate me, as they probably do you as well. At least you've had more practical experience, Norman. You've been to Iraq and all this. All I really do is read the paper, and rather than reading them as these little isolated elements, bring them together and say, what does this tell us?
Yeah, and people ask, sometimes they ask me, well, what should I be reading? And I say, well, you know, just read your daily paper for starters and look for the contradictions because they're screaming at us.
Yeah, in this article, former Iraqi spy chief taken into custody, and on these, they've told me not to criticize the IE America radio news, network news. All right, I won't do it. But it said, Iraqi spy chief collared. Like this criminal. Now, how does one determine what is a criminal regime? I mean, it's pretty difficult. If you're, as you said, if you're the Mubarak government of Egypt torturing people, an undemocratic state, well, you're fine and you get billions of dollars of taxpayer monies. If you're the wrong dictator torturing people, you're a criminal regime. I just don't understand, where's the legal basis for the United States arresting members of the Saddam Hussein government and what they could possibly intend. I mean,
well, I think there is a basis for it. It can be summarized in three words: might makes right.
Yeah.
This is the victor's justice and the victor's judgment, and those who are vanquished will stand in the dock unless they can cut a deal that the U.S. wants to make.
Well, you're not trying to say, much like after World War II, that the former enemy's scientists and even some of the members of their intelligence service wind up working for us. Norman,
well,
you've become so cynical in the time I've known you.
Yeah, that would be very factual. At the same time, Nuremberg has talked about very selectively what trials did take place, had the judgment at Nuremberg totally supported by the U.S., that it's an absolute crime against humanity and against international law to launch a war of aggression against another country. There's no other way to describe what the U.S. has done to Iraq. And therefore, while I do think Saddam Hussein should be put on trial if he is still alive, I also think if he is still alive, and last I heard he is, George W. Bush should also be put on trial. He's obviously indictable for violation of basic international law as provided at Nuremberg.
I think there's a suit has been brought against General Tommy Franks in Belgium. I mean, this is they're really tearing their hair out about that country. But in terms of the criminality of the people within the former Iraqi government, this is something that should be internal to the country of Iraq. These crimes that were committed and profited people that profited from the looting of the population certainly should be brought to the bar of justice. But how a country that illegally invades another can try these people? Is this what they have in mind? I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like equivalent or parallel to that version of the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules.
You got it.
And likewise, those who have the weapons get to administer justice.
And your book is, which you've co-authored, Target Iraq, it's not out of date?
No, it really is. The whole groundwork of this war is being critiqued in the book, and we're getting a very strong response on it.
All right. I have to apologize. I got to get that back on my website. I had some trouble with the graphic of it, but I will tend to that, I promise, because one of the best ways that we can tell these conservatives to shove it is to show the success of people that are critics of this guy and regime.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because if we don't get our message out, we'll be drowned in the corporate messages.
There you go. Norman Solomon, as usual, thanks for joining me, and you can go to accuracy.org to see more of the work that the organization that Norman Solomon is the executive director of, and thank you for being that as well.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, we'll be right back. Peter Werby with Jalene Jordan. Just going to take a short break and get back to you. More ahead, Kathy Kelly is another guest we got through IPA, Institute for Policy. Thank you. But I don't know. I can't do it. Public awareness. It's super public accuracy. Public accuracy. Right. Okay. Thank you. Right back. I'll try better.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Every morning you send your kids out into a world filled with drugs, peer pressure, alcohol, even violence. How can you be sure they have the skills to find their way home safely? That they can make good decisions when you're not watching over them? This is Barry Williams, urging you to call the Girls and Boys Town National Hotline for help and advice at 1-800-448-3000. The call is free anytime, day or night. 1-800-448-3000. Just call. Your kids will be glad you did. Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Let's read this one.
My favorite!
You want me to read her bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy? Welcome
to Nebraska.
How are you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Angeline Jordan as well. Hi, Jalene.
Hello, Peter.
I know we have a lot of international listeners. In fact, we know that we have them all over the world, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. But I only speak English, a teeny weeny bit of Spanish, so you can't really write to me in Dutch, Carol.
I guess, well, maybe she figured you knew someone.
H-O-I must be high. Ik woo ji ah.
Beautiful, isn't
Bergen.
It?
Yeah. You think they'd think it was beautiful if I was, if they were listening to me? Hey, how about this letter? We were talking about the Dixie Chicks. We were talking about them posing nude, kind of what I think is their way of telling the conservatives to take their criticisms and shove it. And Joanna wrote this letter, and she said, listens to the right-wing talk radio shows as well as mine. She says she listens to the one I do in Detroit on the weekend on WRIF. She says, the right-wingers think liberals are completely amoral, that we are sleazy child molesters who have that anything-goes philosophy of the 60s. That's how they present us, but they're the child molesters, right? They're getting busted left and right, including that fundraiser in Virginia that just got convicted, or was it in Baltimore, maybe. He was this guy that was raising funds for Ollie North and for Cap the Knife Weinberger when they got, in a little bit of trouble over Rand Contra back in the 1980s. Yeah. Anyways, Joanna says they often accuse liberals of doing it in the road and things like that. Now, this is another one of their lies and embellishments.
I've never done it in the road.
But she says, I fear there is a bit of truth in what they say, and I grieve for that because I think the moral bankruptcy that is prevalent in our nation will be our ultimate downfall. Joanna says, call me old-fashioned, but I still believe in women's modesty. I believe sex is something private and sacred between two people and shouldn't be exploited all over the media like it is in our society. I teach my children abstinence before marriage, and no, I'm not a Bible-thumping neocon or a born-again Christian. I just believe in committed relationships, whether it's hetero or homosexual, doesn't matter, as long as it's committed, married relationship. We've come so far from basic values that we don't even seem to have a moral code anymore. How else could we have an illegal, immoral president in the White House? I believe we need to get our integrity back, our human decency. She says, when you had the woman on your show who organized that Bear It All Photographs for Peace, I understand where they were coming from and get the message of vulnerability. But believe me, the neocons listening to that think it's just another sleazy, slimeball liberal stunt that proves liberals, especially feminists, have no morals.
And you know what? That's okay. They can go ahead and think whatever the hell they want.
Well, that's kind of what I say, Joanna. And maybe we should talk about this a little more because... Sure. People, you know, that's the difference. That's what liberals say. We are liberal in our opinion of what you want to do. Joanna, everything you said is fine. And if people want to be a little wild and crazy and pose nude in public like the Dixie Chicks do, I say more power to them.
Yeah.
But you can tell us what you think. Next hour, 1-800-TALK-YES, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right, Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in to Mike for your nightly 3-hour bedtime story. MM 9 p.m. Pleasant dreams.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. U.S. forces in Iraq hope to learn more about alleged links between Saddam Hussein's regime and the Al-Qaeda terrorist network with the capture of a one-time senior official in Iraq's intelligence service.
American officials say they now have Farouk Hijazi in custody. Hijazi, who most recently served as Iraq's ambassador to Tunisia, was formerly operations chief in Saddam Hussein's intelligence service. In 1998, he traveled to Afghanistan, where according to U.S. intelligence officials, he met with Osama bin Laden. Hijazi's capture comes just one day after one of the most public faces of Iraq's old regime surrendered to U.S. authorities. Tariq Aziz, the eloquent English-speaking former deputy prime minister, is now undergoing questioning. U.S. authorities hope the two men will provide information about the whereabouts of Saddam Hussein and the country's alleged weapons of mass destruction. Catherine Crew, Washington.
Actions that isolate North Korea continue to be set in place by the leaders of the communist nation. That word came today from White House spokesman Ari Fleischer, who said the U.S. will work through U.N. channels to end the growing concerns over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. The prosecution may have more evidence against Scott Peterson than originally made public.
Cement found on Peterson's boat and in a Modesto storage unit indicate he made 5 anchor-like objects, but only 2 were found. San Francisco Bay title charts were found in the suspect's home computer. The bodies of Lacey Peterson and their son Connor were discovered on the shores of San Francisco Bay near Richmond. Peterson had said he went fishing at Berkeley Marina Christmas Eve day, the last time anyone saw his wife alive. The water is less salty the farther upstream from the bay, but salt water was detected in the boat's outboard motor. The prosecution would appear to not only be trying to tie Peterson to the deaths, but to prove premeditation as well. In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
More news in a moment.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
I may be pregnant, but my period stays away.
I want to know.
With First Response Early Result Pregnancy Test, used as directed, she could get results up to 4 days sooner than other leading brands. And now, results are even clearer with an easy-read result line.
I want to know now.
First Response. Results 4 days sooner.
See doctor as recommended. 52% get results 4 days sooner. 86% 2 days sooner. Use as directed.
American airline flight attendants have agreed to a revised concession deal aimed at helping the carrier avoid bankruptcy. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants today joined the airline's two other major unions, who earlier agreed to concessions aimed at saving American from bankruptcy court. Earlier this week, American's parent company, AMR, announced first quarter losses of more than $1 billion. Yesterday, CEO Don Carty resigned. More after this.
You love your car. You park it at the far end of the lot. You've got a special name for it. And you take it to an independent service center that installs premium AC Delco automotive parts. No matter what you drive, your loved one will be treated to the expert care it deserves. And since April is National Car Care Month, there's never been a more perfect time to pamper it. Go to acdelco.com to find an independent service center near you. It's the least you can do for a car named the Beige Bomber. AC Delco, when the right way is the only way.
The gross domestic product rose by only 1.6% during the first quarter of this year. The new figures out today were below the growth many economists had hoped for. On the housing front, sales of existing homes dropped by 5.6% last month. However, new home sales increased by 7.3% during the same time period. Federal regulations outlining drive time for America's truckers will be changed. The current limit of 8 consecutive hours will change, but they'll also have to take a longer break afterwards. The change will also cut a trucker's maximum workday by 1 hour to 14 hours. For the first time since 1938, the nickel will be getting a makeover. The U.S. Mint plans to alter the coin's design in honor of the 200th anniversary of the Louisiana Purchase and the Lewis and Clark Expedition. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Life in a fishbowl. No, not in an aquarium. The behaviors of these specimens were observed while they were driving their cars. When we come back, I'll tell you what you've been doing on the road.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Stretch limos with tinted windows aside. What we do while driving is on display for everyone to see. And according to an Exxon poll of 1,000 drivers, our top three favorite activities are 1 in 5 of us flirt with other drivers. Another 40% actually reach out and touch someone with our cell phones. And the number one private activity that 70% of us perform for public view is the ever-popular eating. Now that gives dining and dashing a whole new meaning. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. Hey, this is the final day, isn't it, Jalene Jordan, of our new time schedule, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
It's the final day? We go back to our old one?
No, right. This week. Thank you. You know.
This is the final day of this week.
There's about 110 reasons I want you on this broadcast with me. One reason is to make sense of what I'm saying
sure.
when I don't. Right. All right. Yeah, we have a whole new set of hosts. In fact, on a Monday, we begin, is it 9 a.m.? Does Nancy start at 9?
I think she's doing, yeah
9 a.m. till noon will be Nancy Skinner.
Nancy Skinner's Vox Pop.
What does that mean? I'll test you.
Voice of the people.
You know it. Okay. That's great for your Latin. And what does Santorum mean?
Means asshole.
Oh, no, a-hole.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. Let's move on. Anyways, in the news of the day today, whew, God damn. Yeah, that's right. And you know who said that originally, apparently?
Who?
Senator Bob Curie of Nebraska.
Oh, that's right.
Bob Curie of Nebraska, yeah.
Curie, who will raise that? How many million does he need?
Yeah. Well, no. That's you're thinking of John Kerry.
Oh, thank you.
There,
jeez.
You can't tell. You need
I need you.
Yeah, right. We need a, you can't tell the players without a scorecard. Get your scorecard. Right. Now, I just want to read this again because it is so off the wall, and you get an idea of the weirdos that inhabit the Republican Party that have our fate, the fate of the world, the fate of the planet in their grasp on every level, politically, economically, socially, environmentally. And so Rick Santorum, who made that remark about he couldn't tell the difference.
It was something about lying with a dog.
No. That's not the one I was talking about. You're giving it away as usual. But he said if the Supreme Court was to allow consensual sex in the House, he was opposed to the Supreme Court determining that people have the right in their sanctity of their own home to do what they want and love who they want and make love to who they want. He said there is no right to privacy within the Constitution. So what he thinks is the state should have the overseeing capacity of all of our private activities. So this man is not a democratic personality, small d, but he is an authoritarian or fascist personality. And you kind of get to see where that he is coming from.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that in this conversation with the Associated Press, he's talking about how children, monogamous relationships, that's what every society is based on. Well, hello, Rick. But almost every society on Earth has had homosexual activity, and it has had different kinds of, different kinds of reaction to it.
Yeah, different acceptance or whatever.
Mostly under patriarchal, I can't say anything today, can I? What is the word I'm looking for? Patriarchal religions. It's been roundly condemned and suppressed, and he is an agent of that repressive patriarchal religious sentiment, which doesn't have any business being in government. Get out of people's bedrooms.
Please.
And Jalene Jordan, what do you want to tell him to do regarding reproductive rights?
U.S., stay out of my uterus.
Yes, there you go.
But I have to tell you, I've been talking about this Santorum topic quite a lot with some of my gay and lesbian friends, and it just makes me so sick, because these are people who are very much in love, in committed relationships. They're great people. They work in these non-governmental organizations, a lot of them. They're out protesting the war. They're out doing things for people when they don't have a lot themselves.
And if they want to love, I wish I could remember the words to that Chumbawamba song, homophobia, love who you want and love how you please, or something like that. Yeah. And I think of the gay couples I know, men and women. And, once you get by, I don't have any prejudices to get by, but once those of you that have them get by it, gee, they're just another couple of people. Because when you have a man and a woman there, you're not thinking, I know what they do in bed.
Yeah.
And the same way, I'm looking at a couple of guys that live right near us, and I'm not thinking, that's what all these homophobes say. Do you know what they do in bed? And I'm thinking,
same thing you do for the most part
And I'm thinking, why are you thinking about this?
I know. You know what's amazing is, I have a conservative father.
Yes, you do.
And
hi, Wes.
Hi, Wes. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, we love you.
We do. But my conservative father my parents are divorced. He remarried, and his wife, Lynn, who I love, she's kind of a wild thing like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of gay male friends. She's really into antiquing, and she's an artist. So she has, she runs in the circles with these gay men. And so they all come over and spend all kinds of time, and they travel with my dad. And at first I thought, oh, my gosh, what is he thinking? He doesn't even think a thing about it anymore.
When you know a lot of gay people, you kind of develop and gays have it big time. You have gaydar. You can tell who gays
are.
Yes. Do you think your dad looks kind of gay?
No.
This sounds like kind of a morning show. Never mind. We'll move on.
No. My dad looks like Geppetto.
Let's move on. We can do no good here. People are probably listening in the first time, and they said, I heard there was this great, serious, left-of-center political show. Well, we have our moments, folks.
No, he looks like Johnny Carson.
Yes. Anyway, he's a handsome man.
Yes, he is.
With a beautiful daughter.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
All right, let's move on. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's what Rick Santorum said to the Associated Press reporter, who is not identified by name nor by gender, but it comes out. And here's what Santorum, he's inveighing against homosexuality. He says, in every society, the definition of marriage has not ever, to my knowledge, included homosexuality. That's not to pick on homosexuality, he says. It's not, man on child, man on dog, or whatever the case may be. The AP reporter says, I'm sorry, I didn't think I was going to talk about man on dog with a United States senator. It's kind of freaking me out.
What's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, I mean, where does this guy's mind go, man on dog?
All kinds of places.
He was probably a bad boy when he was in rural Pennsylvania. A high percentage, I don't want to get any calls on this, but a high percentage, every poll ever done, that farm youth, men, of course, have had sexual contact with farm animals. So,
Peter.
It's true.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's true. That's what the polls show.
I saw a story about a guy who married his horse once, but what?
Next, they're going to be marrying their horse. Could you care if somebody wanted to marry their horse?
I mean, if you met somebody, as you're happy.
Yeah, if somebody's there and they say, I'd like to introduce you to my wife, and you're looking at his horse there, you'd think, okay, I don't think I'm going to invite them to dinner unless you had a lot of extra hay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Here's David in Thompson, Georgia. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Hi.
How you going? I like calling you guys because I'm so far to the right, but unfortunately, we have kooks on the right and there's kooks on the left, and I totally disagree with what Mr. Santorum wants to do. Is he wants the sex police, and
sure.
I think this country is founded on what? Freedom to be, the pursuit of happiness. If that's what makes you happy, I don't get it. I'm not gay. But then there's nothing wrong with that, like Seinfeld would say.
There's anything wrong with that, right.
Yeah, but get out of the bedroom. Cutting taxes, smaller government, it's nobody's business. As long as you're not hurting kids or abusing animals, I don't care what you do as long as you're consenting adult. He really hit a foul ball with this. What do you guys think?
Well, I'll tell you, David, when I hear people like you, I think maybe we ought to get rid of all these labels of left and right. Because there is no way to get out of categorizing people. And we usually, I categorize the right as repressive, and rather than having the state have smaller powers, have more powers over your personal life. And when I hear people like you, that definition isn't adequate. Because there are a lot of people now, for instance, on the right, on the left, who are joining together in terms of the repressive measures within the USA Patriot Act.
The biggest thing... what Santorum said was there's probably some gay and lesbians that are right of center who do believe in cutting taxes and stuff. And there's no way I can vote for this party now. Look how this fool thinks that he's in the leadership position.
Yeah, they're really cutting their throat, because one of the things that any party wants to do is to cut into constituencies, the core constituencies
exactly.
of the other party. And they just shot themselves in the foot. Thank you, David. Appreciate your call. And
David, come on over. Come on over.
Well, what I'm saying, though, that maybe, because there's authoritarian. There are some authoritarians on the left. I have it out with these people every once in a while. I don't even want to get into that right now. They're not in the Democratic Party,
Are you talking about when we were at the alternative media conference?
Yeah, these kind of authoritarian socialists, those kind of people. Yeah, I really have no interest. No, actually, that's putting it mildly. Hey, here's Jeff in Denver. Jeff, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the whole Clear Channel Media thing.
Sure.
I know a lot of people work for Clear Channel, I mean, quite a few, and I don't know anybody who's really happy with them, maybe one employee. So the people on the inside aren't, don't even like the system.
No, that's true.
And Clear Channel may have an Achilles heel. The supposedly airwaves are owned by the general public.
Right.
And there are the FCC petitions that need to be filed every so often. And if people, and now that we are getting organized in the, you know, the opposition is getting organized in the country, if we could get people to file petitions against the various stations, we could perhaps get those off the air.
Well, let me tell you one of the many hats that I wear, and that's the public affairs director for the greater media stations in Detroit that has nothing to do with the IE America Radio Network. And one of the things that I do is to make sure that the stations meet the, they're not even requirements anymore, but that we have a public affairs face that would be secure from license challenges. Mm-hmm. And it really isn't the way to go. I mean, you're not going to get, you're not going to get anywhere. That they're none of them are doing anything so egregious that they would, even with liberal commissioners on the FCC, would consider taking away a license from them. Do you agree with that, Jalene?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
But well, anyway, but what we all need to be aware of is the June meeting of the FCC that Michael Powell, Collins Powell's son, you know, does not want to have any public knowledge of. He doesn't want to have any more public hearings.
Yeah, this is to expand the amount of stations.
Ownership.
Yeah, the consolidation. Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that consolidation is so important. Like right now in North Dakota, when they had a leak of ammonia gas, ammonia spill, they could not get a hold of local radio stations. Six of seven were owned by Clear Channel. And so they couldn't put out public notices that, you know, we need to evacuate the area.
Why,
so just
why couldn't
for the Homeland Security consolidation.
Because they were all these automated stations, right?
Yes, and there are other instances, too, of Clear, where people could not get a hold of Clear Channel in emergency situations, including times where Clear Channel's own network went down.
You know, that's really weird because down here, from what I, Clear Channel South Florida, since I know about it because my husband works for them, his jocks are all live. His DJs are all live. So I'm not sure. I'm sure there is automation. And
there's a lot of automation.
Oh, there's an amazing amount.
But I wonder why his are all live.
Well, because
he's a larger market.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the large markets and the smaller ones,
I get it.
There's no profit in having warm bodies. So they have these people like in L.A. will just be recording stuff for Bismarck, North Dakota. And that's why in Detroit, one of the stations I work for, WCSX, we say, you know, live and local. You know, Detroit's classic rock station, live and local in the Motor City. And there's this big emphasis on it. We say that only local winners can win contests and what have you.
That's great. You know, Peter, I remember when I went from Iowa, I was on a station that you could automate your show, but I was usually live. I would record it sometimes. I basically forgot how to be a DJ. When I came to WRAF in Detroit, where you are, I had to sit there in front of a board and go, what the hell do I do with this again? So
all right,
it's not good for the DJs either.
Well, there's one other point if I can make.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold then.
Okay.
I love being a live DJ. I still like doing it. I like playing that music. All right.
CDs? Wow.
Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan. We'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
For the past 40 years, Atkins told the world that the way to lose weight was to cut down on carbohydrates. And for the last 40 years, the establishment responded with... Then, on July 7th, we read in the New York Times Magazine, maybe it's not the fat that makes you fat, it's all the carbohydrates. And an article in Time said, Atkins may have struck a vein of truth. So now what's everyone saying? Get the facts about the approach the experts are finally recognizing. Check out the special Atkins insert in Self Magazine on sale now.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's embracing the mainstream media is important to you in these times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Tail. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Well, I've heard that other countries are down on the U.S., a land of mass consumption, our lives filled with excess. But my daddy wasn't fighting on Normandy that day for the right to drive a Hyundai. I refuse to live that way. And I'm proud to be an American who gets just 5 mpg. Though I live alone, the car I own can seat 103. And I'll gladly park so close to you, when you pull out you can't see. No, I'll never trade my Escalade. God bless my SUV.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. You like that?
That was funny.
That was the Capital Steps, their brand new CD, Between a Rock, I-R-A-Q, Between a Rock and a Hard Place, as the first cut. God bless.
I told you some of that stuff would still work.
Yeah. God bless my SUV. This just in, the White House has expressed its support for Republican Senator Rick Santorum, who has been under fire by gay rights advocates and Democrats for critical comments he made about homosexuality. Our caller just a few minutes ago from Georgia shows it's not just limited to Democrats and gay rights advocates, but it is by people who are horrified about the bigoted remarks coming out of the mouth of this religious wacko.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's go back to Jeff in Denver. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air again. Go ahead.
Yeah, continue with this FCC thing. This meeting is so important that's coming up because the consolidation is so dangerous, given that an educated populace, you know, needs a diverse news source in order to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's really interesting is a lot of the television people and so forth have been, in some cases, been told not to talk about the FCC meetings and the consolidation and the, you know, for fear of losing our jobs. But one thing I like to make an appeal to them is the consolidation that's already occurred with radio has caused an incredible amount of people to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of stations, it's been 50 to 80% of the people. And if this consolidation happens, you're going to lose your job anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I wish I was sorry that the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, my union, had a whole article on Clear Channel in their latest edition of their magazine, and I can't. It doesn't appear to be online because however big any of you, and maybe you know, Jeff, how big we think Clear Channel is, it's amazing. They own theaters in Europe. They own
they own stations in New Zealand.
Yeah, no, they're
like all the venues down.
They're all over the
planet.
Well, what's going to happen, Jeff? We're going to have one corporation worldwide. It's going to be called International General. So there we go. They're just the cutting edge.
You're right, Peter.
But we've got to get these media people to speak up because they're in danger of losing their jobs. So
you're right. Well, my union certainly is. And, you know, if people have any sense, they'd be in my union and they would have a powerful spokesperson.
Yeah, okay. You all got to speak to our senators now.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'm giving a ride to a young guy who is no longer in the radio business because of all of this.
Really?
So, yeah.
Now, the White House expressing its support for the bigot Rick Santorum. Santorum, we found out, apparently, according to John Kerry, the ex-Democratic senator from Nebraska, Santorum is Latin for a-hole. But, hey, it's Ari Fleischer. He says the president has confidence in Senator Santorum, both as a senator and as a member of the Senate leadership. Asked about the president's view on homosexuality, Fleischer said a person's sexuality is, quote, not a matter the president concerns himself with, close quote, and that he judges people on how they act as a whole, which I suspect is probably the truth. He is concerned with very little other than how they act as a whole, which means do they support him or not, and if they don't, whether it's a country or an individual, they have to be punished. Right? Here's what he said. He's confident that these illegal Iraqi arms will be discovered, even though they don't appear to be forthcoming. But, you know, they just arrested this Farouk Hajazi. Hajazi, I guess his name is. Hajazi. All right. Okay. I stand corrected. Thank you.
You say Hajazi.
Hijazi.
Sorry.
Farouk Hajazi.
I had to go there.
Hajazi. Anyways, they're saying he is reported to have had contact with Osama bin Forgotten, right? Of course, they bring him back whenever they need him.
Yes.
And also, they say that they hopefully he will lead them to the illegal arms. All of the premises in there. That there's a connection with Iraq and Al Qaeda, and that they have these weapons. This is on the news, and this is on the news on this network, and it sucks. Kathy Kelly, who was in Iraq, will be with us right after the break. Peter Werby and Jillian Jordan.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A 10-day strike by more than 3 million truck drivers in India has come to an end, with the truckers claiming victory. They walked off the job in protest of rising fuel prices and a new tax the government planned to impose on the trucking industry. But after the government agreed to moderate fuel costs and reconsider the tax, the trucks began rolling again yesterday. Several factories shut down during the dispute as raw materials ran low, and several million pounds of produce and livestock had to be destroyed after spoiling and starving to death in warehouses.
President Bush was in Canton, Ohio yesterday defending his proposal for a 10-year tax plan that could eliminate nearly three-quarters of $1 trillion in taxes over the next decade. Under the plan, the wealthiest 1% of Americans would receive more in breaks than the bottom 80%. Despite this, Bush insists his plan is geared to help working Americans.
For the sake of our country, for the sake of the workers of America, Congress needs to pass this Jobs Growth package soon.
Polls show a majority of Americans oppose Bush's plan, and recently the president has reduced his call for a $726 billion cut.
The package ought to be at least $550 billion in size over a 10-year period in order to make sure that the economy grows.
Bush says a tax cut would create a million new jobs by the end of 2004, half the number that have disappeared under his watch.
That's not my projection. That's the projection of a lot of smart economists who've analyzed the package.
Evidently, that doesn't include the 10 Nobel Prize-winning economists who earlier this year attacked the plan, saying the president was seeking a, quote, permanent change in the tax structure and not the creation of jobs and growth in the near term, end quote.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
W is my name, and I'm a rich, dumb, frat ball goofing off has been my game. My daddy's name and money help me everywhere I go, and I want to be your leader, though my brain's a little slow. I'm George W, don't you cry for me. I've come all the way from Texas, just as dumb as I can be. I'm George W, don't you cry for me. Now I've made it to Washington, D.C.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. There's going to be a showdown in Texas, May 3rd, Saturday, showdown in Texas, Austin, Texas. You can go to my website, peterwerby.com, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E, peterwerby.com. There's going to be a mass demonstration and rally against George W. Bush in his home state. Let's welcome back Kathy Kelly. Kathy Kelly is the co-founder of Voices in the Wilderness and the Iraq Peace Team. And Kathy just returned last night to the U.S. from Iraq, and throughout the invasion of Iraq, she was based in the Al-Fanar Hotel in downtown Baghdad, where she saw firsthand events there. Kathy Kelly, welcome back to the United States. And you were there for quite a while. I remember we spoke to you right before you left.
Hello, Peter. That's right. I was in Iraq from October until a few nights ago, with the exception of a brief trip back to the United States in late December. So I and others had been with people during the agonizing buildup toward war, and then the bombardment and the subsequent looting. And I feel that the war hasn't ended, really. I mean, the after effects and the possibilities of civil war are still very much with people.
Yes, I can imagine. And how about yourself? Tell us about your experience. You know, it's funny. I was trying to usually we know the start dates of war. Was it March 20th?
That's right. I started a bombing calendar on March 20th. It felt a bit macabre, but sometimes the days and nights seem to blend together. So I can say that where we were, the floors would shudder beneath us, the windows would tremble, the bombs often sounded as though they were crashing very, very near. But after day and night of this, I suppose we began to almost be, I wouldn't say nonchalant, but we certainly weren't scrambling down to the bomb shelter every time a strong attack occurred.
Well, why not? I mean, I guess it strikes me and probably most of the listeners that one would be terrified. Not for one thing, they had promised shock and awe, and one suggested the leveling of Baghdad. But if when it became even clear that that wasn't going to be the case, in any war, there are errant missiles. So you weren't living a life of terror each day and night?
Well, I think that there was certainly the acceptance that there might not be a tomorrow. I remember one night we were playing a game, a board game with the kids, and it was getting a little bit late, and my friend Cynthia said, well, you know, we could always finish the game tomorrow. And the kids said, just very matter-of-factly, oh, no, we might not live tomorrow. We should finish tonight. So people were adjusting to that reality, and also once the electricity had gone out, and then there were dwindling supplies of food, there was plenty to be anxious about, and we were better off than many. We still had water. But I guess it seemed as though one had to try to be very flexible because you never knew what the next hour or next day would bring. And, in fact, it became not only enduring bombardment, but then the looting and the fear that came with that, the sinking reality of occupation being now much more evident to people when they're stopped for 3.5 hours at a checkpoint and undergoing the humiliations of Arab women being frisked by American soldiers. The uncertainty, the chaos, the recognition that, okay, now you don't have education records, you don't have health care records, you don't have the food distribution records at your fingertips, you don't have any kind of guarantee that wages will be produced or that you'll be able to go back to trying to eke out a living. There's just a profound level of uncertainty, and I suppose on the part of many, a wish to put it all behind them by leaving the country. But people don't have that option either. I mean, you can't, if you're an Iraqi right now, just cross into Jordan or cross into Syria. And in fact, I couldn't even cross the street where I was. There was concertina wire all around the intersection at the hotel where I lived, and you had to be both frisked and produce a valid ID just to be able to cross the street.
Kathy Kelly, you mentioned kids. What was the situation that you were in Baghdad with kids?
Well, a number of families moved into the Al-Fanar Hotel where we stayed, and I particularly spent my time with a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and I'll never forget those two little girls beginning, both of them, to grind their teeth. They had such beautiful, gorgeous faces, gleaming eyes, enormously friendly children. But the older child began to act out a plane coming down, and she'd flip back as though the plane had killed her. Hmm. Or she would take a flashlight and pretend that it was a gun and aim it and shoot her mother and shoot me. And I think probably a child psychologist could explain this as being how children cope with the terrible fear that they're experiencing. But her mother said all the time now she play war games, and it was really true. It was quite difficult to distract her from that, and impossible to distract her mother from constantly worrying about her two brothers who were missing. There were children who really did their best to kind of take a cue from their parents, and if the parents weren't showing alarm or panic, then the kids picked that up as well.
Kathy Kelly's my guest on the Peter Werby Show. She's just returned to the U.S. From Iraq, and you were in the Al-Fanar Hotel, and what was the nature of this hotel? I mean, we hear about the Palestine Hotel where the media was. Who was in the hotel with you?
Well, this is a small family-run hotel, and a number of the workers came with their families. And then the Muslim hotel owner invited his Christian next-door neighbors to come and live with him. So it was quite moving. When the bombing began, I went down a staircase in a big hurry because there was an unexpected big explosion nearby. And I saw a woman cross herself and a Muslim man down on his prayer mat.
Hmm.
Now, I want to also say with regard to children, though, that we did go out to the hospitals. Prior to the war, we went every day to a hospital, a cancer ward, where there were children dying of cancer, and all of those children, I'm sure, did not survive, not because of bombing, but because for years and years and years there haven't been the medicines available. But then after the bombing started, we went to hospitals and saw just the most innocent little children maimed, mutilated, burned, some of them orphaned, And this, I think, is the reality that will only start to further unfold as people begin to find out. We don't know yet, you know, what happened in Basra, what happened in other cities that have been out of touch because the phones don't work.
In Detroit, there's a weekly paper called the Metro Times, and on the front cover, they have a photograph of an Iraqi child that has been obviously slightly burned. And my wife looked at it and said, it's so horrible. And I said, Marilyn, you haven't seen, she hasn't seen these online, the horrible injuries that children and civilians have suffered as a result of this war. And actually, when I opened the pages of this, I could not even, I had to shut it immediately. They're too difficult to look at. People can see this, by the way, at metrotimes.com. It also has a wonderful essay on the war by John Sinclair called Masters of War. But let's get back to your experiences in Baghdad, Kathy Kelly. You were there as part of the Iraq peace team. And how were you received when the Iraqi government was still intact? And did you have contact with American soldiers?
Yes, we did. Throughout the time that we were there, I mean, I have to say that the Iraqi Secret Service was very, very nervous about having Westerners there prior to the war. They were very afraid that Western groups would be infiltrated by agents from coalition countries, and there wasn't a very easy movement. If we went to visit a family, we were accompanied by government guides, and that was much more so the case in those last weeks than we had ever experienced before. Unfortunately, when the occupying troops came in, we didn't suddenly discover that we had a newfound freedom of movement. In fact, as I mentioned, we had a hard time even crossing the street. And also, the prices have risen very, very high because the Westerners can pay top dollar coming in with the media and many NGOs, and so it now can cost as much as $2,000 to rent an apartment in Sadoun Street. The Marines that came in were tired. They were exhausted. They had experiences that they want to forget. And I was amazed at how forthcoming they were. When they first pulled in, it had been an incredibly dramatic day. We had heard that people that were thieves and looters were at the bridge 10 minutes away from the hotel we were at. We were expecting at any minute that the hotel windows might be broken, that there could be fighting very, very close to us. Then all of a sudden we heard the roars of APCs and Humvees and Jeeps, and the Marines came rolling around a corner, and we went out and held up a banner on our balcony that said, Courage for Peace, Not for War. And we had held up the enlarged pictures of many of the people that we know closely. And Marines started shouting up to us, Where are you from? Are you a Red Sox fan? That kind of thing. So
really?
Eventually I thought, well, these guys are sweaty. They're tired. They're probably pretty shell-shocked. And we had a lot of water. And so I went down with a six-pack of water, and some of my friends did likewise. And I thought, well, let me do what Iraqi people taught us to do. I went back and got a pack of dates. And so we began to talk with them, and we knew some of them quite well, as people, you know, we could call by name and speak with. And they were troubled, deeply, deeply troubled, said that while they were en route from the border at Safwan up to Baghdad, they'd engaged in killing, that they sometimes couldn't tell if they were killing civilians or killing military people, that they were fearful at times when they were fired on, and that, but sometimes it would just be a matter of a car driving up to a checkpoint and somebody would start to shoot, and you know, an orphan child would be left in the back seat of a car. And you know, and it could have been done differently. The tires could have been shot out. And so one young man said, I hope it never, these memories never go into my head and stay there. A commander said, don't blame these young guys. They're not responsible. I've had a lot of sleepless nights, and I'll continue to lose sleep because I know I made decisions in the haste of the battle that cost a lot of lives. And I felt strongly that this did not have to happen. It was not a fait accompli, that the only way that political change could have ever been achieved in Baghdad, that the only way improvement could be achieved, was by coming with the full force of the world's largest killing machine. But, you know, I think that it wouldn't be right to point fingers of blame at these young men. We, all of us, have a big responsibility for what's been done to Iraq in a series of decades.
Sure. Well, they were sent over there. They had no choice in the matter. Kathy Kelly, so you'd never received any hostility. They never thought you were a traitor or anything like that.
No, quite the opposite. I mean, my friend Kathy Breen was sitting on a large canvas tarp that we set up in the intersection, literally right next to an APC and a tank. And it was a South Korean artwork which showed fingers holding many, many different bombs scattered over the bottom third, and then victims' faces on the middle third, and a sketch of countries in the world on the top third. And a number of soldiers said, can we join you there? Can we meditate with you? Can we pray with you?
Really?
Well, I mean, they went through a very hellish experience, and I think could not possibly have felt good.
Well, I just heard some of these troops are starting to come home, and they had an interview with one, and he said, oh, it was wonderful. We were welcomed as liberators. I'm so happy we liberated the Iraqi people. I mean, that doesn't, of course, the liberation is a separate question from whether this war was illegal, which it was, and unnecessary since there is no weapons of mass destruction to be found. But is there any way to determine, I mean, did the Iraqi people, and I mean, how, I don't know how anybody can make an assessment, and I'm asking you to do it, want to be liberated in this fashion? Essentially, one man in the entire world and against the wishes of the majority of the world said, you will be liberated in this manner.
Well, I think that there was a very long-standing, pent-up desire for release from an oppressive dictatorial regime. There's no doubt about that. But I think that 12 armored vehicles protecting the Ministry of Oil building where the maps and the information about oil drilling were to be found, while there was no protection for hospitals, hospitals actually turned into war zones where children as patients were suddenly lying ill and perhaps mutilated and then suddenly facing the fact that the looters want their beds. I mean, this was something that hurt U.S. relations with Iraq very, very badly. And then that the National Museum was looted, that the records for education, for housing, for health care are all gone, that they've been set back so very, very far in terms of trying to recover their infrastructure, and that it's U.S. companies and U.S. interests that are going to make the lion's share of the profits on reconstruction. I don't think the Marines, who were welcomed as liberators, if they went back and talked to the same people who said thumbs up, would find that those same people are presently thinking thumbs up. I think that people are taking a wait-and-see attitude, but increasingly there's a great objection to the U.S. presence, and that was certainly shown in Kabul. I mean, I think we have to contrast the 200 or so people that turned out for the toppling of Saddam's statue in Firdaus Square with well over a million people that went to commemorate Shia leaders from 14 centuries ago in Kerbala, and said quite clearly that they were wanting the demise of Saddam Hussein, but in the next breath, they want the U.S. occupying troops to leave.
Sure, and I did a story I'm looking at right now, Clerics Call for Islamic State in Iraq. We have less than 30 seconds. The war's not over. What next? What next for Voices in the Wilderness, the group you co-founded? In fact, we only have 20 seconds. Can you give me one sentence, unfortunately?
I think the further invention of nonviolence is still our task. If you propose something that takes 1,000 years to accomplish, all the good, better reason to start this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Kathy Kelly. People can go to the website of Voices in the Wilderness, VITW.org. Thank you so much for telling us about your experiences. They're just amazing, and the wonderful work that you and the other people from the Iraq Peace Team have done. Thank you, Kathy Kelly.
And they're still there. Thank you, Peter.
All right, wow.
They're still there. Right. Bye now.
That's interesting. All right, Kathy. Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. Our final segment for this show and for this week. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES. Come on back.
Niagara Falls, Raymond. Nature's wonderful. But imagine if nature stopped working. Like when you're constipated.
Maureen.
Good thing you use Phillips Milk of Magnesia. It helps your body work more like nature intended. Phillips relieves constipation comfortably without cramps because Phillips has no harsh stimulants like other overnight laxatives. Right, Raymond?
Yes, Maureen.
So you feel like your natural self.
Naturally.
Phillips, the comfortable way. Also try new, great-tasting French vanilla.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
It's the Peter Werby Show, connecting the dots every day. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
All right, thank you very much. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan is with me.
Yes.
That's some new music. Did you put that in there?
No. It must have been John Lucas.
Yeah. Man. All right. Do you know that band?
I don't.
Steph, who knows everything? Do you know? Even Steph doesn't know it.
That one has me baffled.
You know, here's another example. Of course, this is what we've expected from the anti-war demonstrations. We'd have hundreds of thousands of people in the streets of San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, and they'd say thousands of demonstrators, right?
Yeah.
It was thousands, but it was hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here, clerics call for Islamic State in Iraq. Hundreds of white-clad worshippers sat cross-legged on a boulevard street in Nasiriyah in Iraq, in this war-shattered city Friday, and listened to a cleric's exhortation that Iraq must unite to create an Islamic State. So hundreds. Now, they show the photograph from it, and you look at the photograph, and there's thousands of people in the photograph.
Right.
Yeah, this does not bode well for the plans of the United States. Same message resounded across Iraq on the main day of Muslim prayers as clerics spoke about the need to come together after the ouster of Saddam Hussein. Some, like the way they say it, some urge the United States to leave Iraq. Well, yeah, this is all going to be pretty interesting to see
how this plays out.
Yeah. Let me see. I thought the caption under this was interesting. Shiite men, that's all there is, acting for these folks, hold hands and raise their arms, urging Muslims for unity, and called for foreign occupiers to leave Iraq during noon prayers.
They didn't. The Bush administration probably didn't expect this, did they?
No. Well, they didn't expect a lot of things. That's what's so interesting, that they say, oh, well, we thought they were just going to all say, boy, we're just loving you here.
Yeah, right.
They also didn't expect that all this looting was going to occur.
Yeah.
Bush now says that, let's see, he didn't expect the resistance. And I like this one in this interview. He says, I was hesitant at first to order this bombing of, you know, on that first day where they tried to take out Saddam.
Hesitant?
He says, I was hesitant at first, to be frank with you, because I was worried that the first pictures coming out of Iraq would be a wounded grandchild of Saddam Hussein. He wasn't worried that it would be a grandchild of Saddam Hussein. It didn't matter that he would be a baby killer, right? It mattered that the first photos would be, that the representation of the slaughter of civilians would be what people would say.
That's so sick.
Bush also said today that Iraqi officials and scientists had provided the United States with information that Saddam Hussein may have destroyed or dispersed their chemical weapons.
Oh.
That's what all this is about, folks. All on wishes and could-bes and maybes and could-be and gonna-bes and what have you. Folks, we are in the hands of some awful people. We have to take back America, and we'll do more of that come Monday. Thanks for listening. Thanks
Ariana
for being with
Huffington.
Us. Ariana Huffington, right off the bat, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Peter Werby Show. Have a great weekend.
Listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. If you've been suffering from withdrawal because you can't find The Malloy Show, I've got the cure. Just remember this phrase, MM 9 p.m. That's right. Mike Malloy can now be heard weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. So turn off the reruns on TV and tune in.